Okay, this is a special edition of the Real House Gagas of Iandom, and it's being recorded on November 30th, copyright 2011, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved. And we're starting at 5:46 p.m. Hawaii time. All right, we have two Real House Gagas, and we're going to review the show. This is a first time listening for Allison, and a second time listening for Sheila, and sort of a second time something for me, since I'm inside the process. So, Allison, you can start the recording.
Ride up slowly on the main street, and I see one person yells out, "Kill him!" but nobody responds to that. So here's what this guy, stranger walking in town, says to them, to the townspeople.
And are you going to tell us the name of the movie?
Not yet.
Okay.
So this would be, I think this would serve a disclaimer for what's going to happen in the next 3 hours. All right?
All right.
Nice. Okay, now I'm going to click on it. Let's see if it works.
Well, you look. See, your problem, you're clicking in the wrong place on your pad. You have to click down here. He doesn't even know how to click.
No, that's in your computer. Oh, your new computer has it. No, it doesn't apply here.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was a good try. Here we go.
Okay, stop. Is that, all right. So is that a reference to Ion or to Bob?
To Ion. I mean it to Ion. That's me. As I say, I think I'm going to mention, I came in on March 25th, 2009, all excited. And then a few months later, by the time we get on, or somewhere once we're in the cash flow, I'm saying, oh, God, this Ion's a fucking monster. And it gets worse and worse, and so I'm saying that what's said in that 1972 movie is what I would say today after last night's Genisys. I'm warning you people, there's a fucking monster named Ion that's going to kill each and every one of you. That's the joke I'm presenting here.
But in fact,
Genisys?
What?
Genisys?
Genisys.
I'm going to be Ion here. Genisys? You mean
Genisys? Oh, sorry. Did I say Genisys?
Yeah, you did.
That's a combination of, it's actually, we titled the series The Genesee, the final Genesee. Genesee is how you say Genesis from Ion's point of view. And then I think of Genisys. Then there's the word Genesis. So the mixture led to Genisys. I don't know how to say it anymore. You know, there's different ways to say it. So that's just the latest permutation. But I'm talking about the book of Genesis.
Okay.
And the series. Now, did I hear pots and pans? Did one of you start doing something in the kitchen?
I tried to tell him not to. It was an infiltration of the genius.
Okay, well, tell that guy to stop it.
He's gone.
Okay, good, good, good. You shoot him away. All right, Lawrence is not Sheila. Okay, so okay, so I'm saying that, you know, Carolyn's saying Bob is the hammer and nailed it. And I say, I'm not the hammer. Ion's the hammer. He's the evil demon monster. And, you know, I had this quote already planned a few days ago, and then last night happened, making it even more appropriate that I play it, even though I was planning to play it. So does that answer your point, Sheila? And shall we now hear what I say?
Yeah, well, but it's also, you're saying he's the monster, but in the recording it's like he actually wants to help each and every one of you.
No, no. I'm the guy speaking, and I said, I just talked to the monster. And I said, no, bingo, gas station.
Motel cheeseburger with a side of aircraft noise.
Or you'll be a Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana.
That's his name. That's the mixed corporate media, the whole goth that Ion is. It's appropriate name. Covers all the realms. And so I'm saying that thing is going to kill you. But me, Bob, is saying, come on, people. If you guys get your act together, you won't be killed. So I'm warning them. The monster's coming to get them. And I said, I held the monster off so it can come and tell you, people, you can be better. All right? So I'm the guy speaking there, warning them.
Okay.
That's how I'm presenting myself.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
That's a bit of an overlay as to what Ion says, you know, when he says, you know, you better get on the bus or not.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. And Ion will say that Bob's the problem. He's getting in the way of you guys understanding Ion. You know, it's the kettle calling the other kettle or the pot black, what's going on here, right?
Hmm. You guys are kind of closely related.
Yes, yes, that's right, yeah.
So we don't know who has the white hat and who has the black hat.
That's right, yes. I mean, I would only speak to the 1%, and I'm saying I'm the leading edge of the 99%ers, and I'm actually infiltrating the 1%ers by being on this show on behalf of the 99%ers. And, you know, just to follow up, today I got a lot of crazy emails, stupid fucking issues, and Ian says, well, Bob, you say you're in the 99%ers. That's all you're going to get is dumb emails from 99%ers. So he pointed out what I've created for myself.
How do you feel about that?
I can take it so far, but, you know, I might defect to the 1%ers if it keeps up. I'm a
so
double agent.
Is there any divulging of what movie it was? I don't recognize
it. Oh, I will talk about it. It's Greaser's Palace by Robert Downey Sr., who did Putney Swope, if you know that movie, in 1968, a great movie. I recommend
wow.
Greaser's Palace. Yeah, these are not known movies, but Robert Downey Sr., was a great avant-garde move maker in the late 60s. So this
cool.
Greaser's... Okay, so I think I'm going to say that, so you can start the recording again.
Okay, we're going to go on.
There it is. I like the way it is. That's it. Great, Bob. Where's that from? What's that taken from, Bob? Greaser's Palace, made by Robert Downey Jr.'s Robert Downey Sr., maybe. And he's the one who made that great movie, Putney Swope, in 1968, and then he made this a couple of years later, about 1972. Greaser's Palace.
I didn't know he was the daddy.
Yeah, he's the daddy. And,
so who are you? Are you Bingo, or are you the cowboy?
That's... when I first spoke about Ion on March 25th, 2009, a week after Ion was around, I did not know the full implications of this, and I laid out a great manifesto. Well, now I prefer to say this. I think it's a clearer situation. Let's just hear this again. You want to hear that name? Bingo Gas Station.
Cheeseburger.
Motel Cheeseburger with
and
a side of aircraft noise.
A side of... Yeah, that's
aircraft
what
noise.
Ion keeps saying.
Or you'll end up like Gary, Indiana.
Oh, my.
You just want to catch that name again. So notice the guy, when I walk into town, they yell, string the bitch up or something. String up the bastard.
Exactly 6 miles north of Skag Mountain in the Valley of Pain, there lives an evil devil monster. His name is Bingo Gas Station, Motel Cheeseburger with a side of aircraft noise, and you'll be Gary, Indiana. Annie.
Hey, I have stopped him.
Thanks, Ion.
The name. You got the name, didn't you?
That's all you said you wanted.
Yeah, no, that's good. I thought I was sure if I stopped it, but I don't think I simply clicked. So I'll give you Ion credit. Yeah, what's the name, Carol?
It's in God we trust, all others pay cash.
Yeah, it's like a page of things. Wait, Bingo Gas Station, Hotel Cheeseburger with a side of aircraft noise, and you'll be Gary, Indiana.
Very good, Bob.
Yeah, it's really great name.
Can we stop?
Well, that's what we're dealing with, people.
Yep.
I'm going to warn you.
Okay.
Each and every...
what it makes me think of is Frank.
Yes, Frank Zappa, right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I realize it's not from that. And I am with Carolyn. I didn't know there was a Robert Downey Jr. Senior.
Yeah, senior.
But if the junior, then there was a senior. I just didn't know that he was a movie maker.
Yeah, you know how Robert Downey Jr. is a bit like Charlie Sheen. He's a wild card, gets in trouble occasionally. You know about him, right?
Yeah.
He has to go in rehab. Well, it's, he grew up, I've heard interviews with Robert Downey Sr. recently on Bob Fass's WBAI show, and I actually have it in one of my archives on eightbody.com. And Robert Downey Jr. grew up in this bohemian avant-garde filmmaker environment in the village. So Downey, the junior guy, is used to a independent, autonomous childhood being, artistic, bohemian thing, you know, so it may be hard for him to relate to the corporate world, and that's why he gets uptight or freaks out every now and then. His father is an incredible guy, a great artist, and he actually, of course, art was obsolete in that sense, the 60s sense by the 70s, so Robert Downey Sr. had to go and be a Hollywood screenwriter or scriptwriter, you know, in the 80s and 90s when the Android Meme took over and you couldn't be in any kind of individual creative force without aligning with some corporate funding. And he couldn't take mainstream Hollywood. It was just too plastic or whatever you would call it. And so he dropped out, and he's now, I don't know, starting to make his own movies again. But he's retired, you know, in his 70s. But a great encyclopedia of stories. He knew everybody, knows all the neat stories about everybody. He's probably a friend of Lenny Bruce and everything. You know, he's just a very interesting creator. And his movie Putney Swope is incredible. It begins with a Marshall McLuhan kind of corporate advisor coming into an ad agency. And he says a bunch of aphorisms like McLuhan. And this is done in 67, 68, right when McLuhan was prominent. So I'm sure Downey was imitating McLuhan and satirizing McLuhan or whatever. And then the consequences of what McLuhan says is really good. So Downey has made several really great movies even before Putney Swope. So definitely something to look up. And so that's what we're saying. Allison, you can stop the movie. You don't have to ask us. Anybody can stop it anytime they want as we go along here. Just
okay,
yell out.
I've got the stop button. But anytime, what I was going to ask was, Sheila, do you know about him?
No, I do now, though. I just looked him up while Bob was talking about him. So, interesting.
I just am fascinated. I never thought of looking him up. I didn't know he existed, and I've never heard of that movie. And he sounds incredible, and that's pretty cool, Bob.
Yeah,
that would have been.
It's 1972.
I would have pulled that off today's cash flow going, what? Robert Downey Jr. Sr.?
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, when I was in Halifax in the mid-70s waiting for Carolyn to get out of med school and running around based in Dallas and all these places, but when I went back to Halifax, I would sit in various colleagues, good, really interesting professors. And you can go on my timeline and hear a dialogue with Harry Whittier, which is a whole interesting thing. Anybody who's interested in that, they can email me. Anyways, I would sit I also sat in the college, and it was a top college. Nova Scotia College of Art and Design was a top college. It was avant-garde and teaching concept art. So all the top artists of the 70s came to Nova Scotia to speak at the college, people like Joseph Beuys and others. And one of the student professor there, young professor named Eric Fischel, leaves the college in the late 70s and goes to New York in the 80s. He's one of the most successful artists in the New York art world, Eric Fischel. F-I-S-C-H-L, and his wife, April somebody, was a student there, and they hooked up, and then she becomes a pretty successful artist. Well, when I met April at a gallery in 2001, just before 9/11, I went to a showing of her paintings, and I hadn't talked to her in 30 years, I guess it is, 20-something years. And I reminded her of her life in Halifax, and I told her about what I knew about Eric. The main story about Eric, who came from California, so he's an American, so he's teaching. And I meet him in a tavern, Seahorse Tavern, we're talking with a bunch of other students, and I bring up Greaser's Palace, and he is shocked. Now, he thinks he's in the boondocks of Nova Scotia, in the fringe of the Atlantic Ocean, and I tell him about what a great movie, and he goes, holy shit. I have never heard anybody else bring up that movie, but that is the greatest movie ever made. And he liked the movie. And so he figured I was the hippest guy in the universe because out of this nowhere land, I bring up his favorite movie. But he never would bring it up. He wouldn't think anybody knew it. So I bring this up as someone who did well in the art world, a big influence was Greaser's Palace. So that's just a side story about a well-known name. Look up Eric Fischel, considered one of the great artists of the 80s and 90s, still going strong. He liked, and I was surprised that he thought so much of the movie. I had never met anybody else who knew of the movie, and he never met anybody else. So it's that obscure, this movie. Mainstream
okay.
circuit. It was for distributing the mainstream theaters, but just too weird for people or something, or just didn't get any high profile. Let's carry on.
Okay, you ready, Sheila?
I'm ready.
Creditors do.
Good point.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I have another clip here. And we were talking with a group of people in Ion about the Abrahams. And, you know, Jerry Hicks had transitioned last week. And this killing a lot of people issue is mentioned in this discussion. It's only about a minute or so long. And listen to what Ion says in terms of definition.
So was Abraham sort of like a residue hanging around?
No, residue would be original.
So it was coming from the Guff?
They don't even, you got to go by their words. They say there's not one. They say that the Guff is where all your shit that you weren't able to create goes. Unrealized manifestations, right, Sue?
Stop. The fuck?
Exactly.
Okay.
Sheila, I mean, Allison, we know what you're thinking, so continue. It'll deal with what you're thinking.
Yeah.
You guys are going to have to deal with my mini brain going,
I know.
Huh?
No, we...
I'll calm down after a few.
You were correct to say what.
Yeah,
that's appropriate what you did.
Thank
Good
you.
Girl.
Hold on one sec. Here we go.
We said that you go, but not your stuff.
Right. If your stuff here. Around as residue.
Okay, go back slightly, Allison. You missed the point where this person says, wait a minute. You know, just go back. You couldn't even start a game. It's just you missed the point that echoes you. Yeah.
Probably what happened was there was life going on around me. So hold on.
Yeah.
I will do this again. Oh, wait a minute.
Just go back like 30 seconds.
This is because somebody was calling me on my cell phone, another calling me on this phone, and they're not going to get me because I can't interrupt. But what I was going to say was, I was laughing because, remember, I was relating everything to me, and I heard Carolyn say to you, well, you don't know how to run this new computer. Well, as you heard, I'm not on my normal computer for this evening.
Right.
I'm like, I don't know how to run it. So, hold on.
Good point. Yeah. Well, okay. I have another clip here, and we were talking with a group of people in Ion about the Abrahams, and, you know, Jerry Hicks had transitioned last week. And this killing a lot of people issue is mentioned in this discussion. It's only about a minute or so long. And listen to what Ion says in terms of definitions. Okay, here we go.
So was Abraham sort of like a residue hanging around?
No, residue would be original.
So it was coming from the Gulf?
They don't even, hey, but you got to go by their words. They say there's not one. They say that the Gulf is where all your shit that you weren't able to create goes. Unrealized manifestations, right, Sue?
Didn't you say that before?
We said that the, you go, but not your stuff.
Right.
Your stuff here.
Around as residue. Full tracks everything that didn't get accomplished.
But see, that's always in the death mode.
And they say that you croak, but there is no death.
Well, but then, well, right, but if there is no death and you croak, then there may not be life.
I have to stop it. I still don't get it.
We're going to talk about it. You'll see.
Okay. I'll go back.
Yeah.
Hey, there you have it. Now, Carol looked puzzled as she listened to this, as everybody should, or some people should. I've heard people say that our unrealized creations go to the Guff.
Right. People say, Ion said
it.
Yeah,
a thousand times. Now, Ion's saying that's not what goes to the Guff, that your essence goes to the Guff. So, Ion, were you drunk when you said that? Or do you want to clarify why we have the impression, or some do, that our unrealized...
No, it's just exactly it. You're mirroring it. You're laying it out clearly as from where you were. But when you get to the other end of that, you look, you'll have a very different notion regarding it.
Okay, wonderful statement, Ion. Nobody knows what it means. Let's try again.
You didn't hear what we said the first time. You didn't hear us when we corrected it and got it to a new place because you all were in a new position. And you didn't, we told you again, you didn't get it then. So, okay, let's try it yet again.
Yeah, this is an example of what goes on during the Genesis situation. He's devil monster. The evil devil monster.
She's had all night to sharpen her machete, Bob.
Me.
Okay, you want to pursue this issue?
Yeah, so when a person croaks on Earth.
Let's say it this way.
Don't let him say a new way. We have many people.
It's not a new way.
Hey,
we just not that word. Transition.
Yeah,
okay, fine.
Yeah, okay.
So when a person transitions.
Hey, Carol, don't go in there. Just create a new thing. Let's just say what we know is what I'm going to do.
When a person transitions. Their soul stays here, the stenographer.
Yep.
We thought that that was part of their essence that stayed, that people could experience as a ghost, and their unrealized creations went to the Guff.
Okay, but those unrealized creations were the things not manifestable.
Right, they did not manifest them, correct?
That's why they're called unrealized.
Okay.
Unrealized,
so
if they go
to this Guff, which could be 2 inches away from your left hand, okay, fine. You don't get where the Guff is or be.
Right.
But that's okay. That's still all right. Then those unrealized positions are everything that would have been baited bliss for you in this realm. For example, if all your unrealized creations were achieved, you wouldn't have to go. You'd just stay here and enjoy them here, right?
Okay, if one of your unrealized creations was to stay here, yeah, that would be it. But...
Well, at the point, you have to decide to leave your meat sack.
Right, but let's get back to Abraham say that you go to the Goth and take your unrealized creations. How are you saying anything different?
Okay, then that they're piled. This is that vortex issue, that everything you're trying to be that you aren't, you're trying to get to. We're not trying to get you to it. We're trying to get those things, you, into a position of where you are, where they are.
how does that make sense? I mean, people aren't wanting to move to the Guff to get unrealized creations. So
well,
I don't know.
That's what, that's their, they don't want to stay here either, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
the coffin makers are doing good business.
Right. Yeah, I still don't get how you put down the Abrahams for saying that your unrealized creations go to the Guff.
We weren't putting it down. We're just saying if there's no death, what did Jerry die of?
Right. So, can you answer that question?
No.
What?
If there's no death, what did Jerry die of, Ion?
We have no idea. That was their construct that they created, so they didn't have any other choice but that.
So was it happy death?
Wasn't
in this clip. I heard someone was else saying happy something.
It was, that's right, happy, healthy, dead. No tubes, with no tubes running up the nose.
Only they said that would be the death, no tubes up the nose.
Right.
So if you hung out with Abrahams, you would die without tubes up your nose. That would be the benefit.
No, but the more you talk about it, the more that's what would end up happening.
What, death or the tubes?
Tubes.
Both. Okay, so anyways, we haven't got any words yet. What happens to the unrealized manifestation, Zion?
They remain where they always were, unmanifested.
And where is that? You got a name for it?
3 inches away from your left hand.
Are they not antimatter? They're
not thoughts. They most certainly are not.
They're vectors, Bob.
They're not thoughts.
They're unrealized vectors.
Don't get silly yet. We're just starting the show, okay? I'll tell you, Bill's already trying to get silly. I get a message typed to me personally from Bill. James doesn't see these. He doesn't have a computer.
Well, that's because that's what we said. Use the InQuick, and you can direct, and he can help you. And you don't have to take your show to show how ridiculous you're not able to push the damn buttons on your own little lucky box.
Yeah, Bill Wright, sure wish you'd fix your damn computer. It's playing havoc. Yeah. With
okay, stop.
Yeah,
I know what you're going to say, but go ahead and say it.
No, you don't know what I'm going to say.
No,
I
don't.
You're being smart. So this is a different story than what Ian has been saying all along. Am I interpreting what's happening here that way?
Yeah,
that being accurate interpretation of this?
He is going to explain it coming, but what's striking me, Sheila, as I listen to this, it's a lot clearer what Ion's saying as I hear it. I remember as I was listening, I don't know what he's saying, I can't get focused, I got too much shit going on. This is the experience I have when I replay the show. It's all clear to me. And so it's so unclear when I'm listening. I can hear Carolyn misinterpreting it. She's doing a good job. At least she can say something. I can't even say anything or something. She's saying, but I can recognize what she's mishearing. And Ion has said, I know exactly what Ion said because I've had the benefit of having gone through it. And so I know the exact confusion that Allison's feeling because we all get it as we're listening because Ion goes a bit too fast. You know what I mean? He just says this and that and then. You see what I mean, Allison?
What I was going to point out was it was interesting because all of a sudden I was like, I felt like Ion was more of a person. This is weird. This is really weird. I've never felt this way. Saying something that was kind of diverting away from the subject. I'm like, I hear what they're saying now and they're laughing and they're going, and I'm like, what? Wait a minute. Go back. You just said something really, as you said, I don't hear it the first time.
Yeah. You're saying
as,
that. Are you
what
saying?
I'll hear next time. I'll hear something different next time. But I'm hearing the first time going the same thing that Carolyn was trying to say in a very nice way. You know, wait a minute. You said this, and now how am I supposed to assimilate this? And they're changing it and making it, not even changing it, but they're making it clearer in the way that we're going to hear it. I sent Ion a message about something but it had to do with listening, and they were very clear about saying it's not about listening, it's about hearing.
Yeah.
and I think hearing is the key on this one, as always. What I'm hearing is the first version, and I'm reacting.
Yeah.
Going, shit, what do you mean? How are you? Are you kidding me? You've been saying this for so long.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me. I don't. I have no bone to pick, Sue Bone. I have no bone to pick, but.
No, you do have a bone to pick. He just, and it sounds like you're saying that there's a willful human perversity going on here. That's what you mean, that he sounds like a human. He's like just being ornery and changing what he said. Is that what you mean by that this human element that's coming in?
Yes, and the after effect, I don't know if you guys probably didn't hear it this way, but when I'm listening now, I'm, you know, there was a very tense scenario going on about Carolyn saying, or at least because I was questioning it, you know, there's a tense scenario going on, and then Ion is saying, you know, this is actually what I said, and then you're trying to process that, and then all of a sudden they go into this kind of fun space of laughing, and we're talking about something different now, and yada, 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 and I'm like, wait a minute, you've just overridden something that I really want to address or look at. And actually, my personality is not this serious, but as I'm listening, I'm thinking, oh, this is a great tool. That's why I'm saying it's a human thing. I feel like the they that is Ion has said, made these statements that don't feel congruent to what they've said before for what our ears heard.
Yeah.
And then now they're kind of doing a little dance to, all I can think of is misdirect, but to kind of cover up what they've just said, which is fucking huge, and you're going, no, go back to that. No, we're going to dance and play. We're going to say something silly.
Right. And that's where, and Allison, at that point I go, see, this is what goes on in Genesis and gets me worked up. I got to deal with this dancing during Genesis, you know what I mean? You get frustrated because you think Ion's being sillily perverse. Now, what's interesting, Allison, is coming down, Sheila may remember this, he's going to totally explain what he's done. He has done a shift, and it's valid once he tells us, but he doesn't tell us when he's doing it, which is a way of tricking us to get involved, participate, and get ourselves thinking and concerned. You know, he's tricking us to get involved because we all come into the show in a poised position, and Ion's going to have to make this show create drama. So he changes the rugs, he changes the decor, and he even's going to have a reason why he did it. But at this point, where you are right now, there's no way he's going to explain this. He's just being stupid. He's just being silly, right? He's ignoring.
Well, no, I think that's more of you. You're interjecting, you know, how you would view it on that. I don't think he's just being silly and whatever. I would go back and I'd be saying to myself, oh my God, I've got to listen to this again because this is just so different from what I thought he was saying, they were saying. And in that alone is a little bit alarming because I'm like,
that's what I mean. He's getting you involved.
He's holding them to saying something that I said, okay, well, you said this.
Yeah.
And I have to go back and look at it. You're right. I actually love it. That gets me involved. And I go back and I go, wow, I get to listen to this again and go, did you really say that?
Yeah.
Did they say that? And how is that? How does that come out?
Well, right.
What did you hear?
I have a question is why you said it's a little bit alarming. So what is alarming? What's the sensation of it being alarming?
The sensation of it being alarming is that what I heard was contradictory to what I thought I had heard before.
One of the main rules
that
you've learned from Ion, about the manifestations going to the guff has been violated. That's what you mean.
But,
one of the main assumptions you got.
Right. So, because we all need a few things that are always every single time without fail or exception. Otherwise, it's like, well...
Yeah, he can say anything. You tune out when there's...
No, I don't feel that. I don't mind that it gets changed. I'm just interested that it seemed to be completely juxtaposed. I thought Carolyn heard it too. I was like, they're saying what Abraham was saying was kind of bullshit. And Carolyn's like, well, you along. That's what I heard. I was like, okay, I don't care that you're changing it. I really don't. But if
you do care. You do care.
Oh, yeah, you care. I mean, you would care, certainly. If it was, I mean, I don't know. I'm saying for me, I care when he changes it and it's something personal or something that, you know, well, I guess everything at some level is personal, but it's like, wait a minute, you said the opposite, you know, last month.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, man. So you just got to keep, it's like a moving floor, you know. You got to figure out how
yeah,
to
but there's a, there's a there's a childishness to it. Like, oh, you're just going to play shifting all the time, and you don't have any particular basic frame that we can get from you. You know, we don't like that. You can play games, but as long as there's a frame. But when he starts playing arbitrarily shifting, oh, he doesn't even have anything to say. You know what I mean? It's just tricking us.
Yeah,
we object to that. And that is a test on us. We may not require – we have to learn to not want a framework, a basic rule, right? So he's going to keep being childish, so to speak. But I want to tell you a thing. While I'm listening, I never thought the creations go to the guff. When I was first understanding this a year or so ago, the essence went to the guff. But I noticed some of the tailgaters or somebody started saying the creations go to the guff, and I thought, no, that's not right. But I never made an issue, and it started to be spread that the creations go to the guff. But I always went with the essence goes to the guff and not the creations. So actually the whole issue about the creations going to the guff is wrong from what I knew from the beginning. But it took over among many people on the rewriters thought that the creations go to the guff. So there's an extra confusion point for me. You see what I'm saying, Allison?
Yeah.
But I know that many people did say they worked with the assumption that the creations go to the guff. And now he's saying the Abrahams say that, and that's wrong. But there's a brilliant alibi coming up around the corner. And that's what's interesting. Yeah, do you remember, Sheila, how he gets out of this?
I don't, to be honest with you.
Okay. And I'm also really struck. This is why it's fun doing it with you guys now. I'm amazed at how clear I know where it's going, but it's interesting here when you're inside and you don't know where the conversation is going, you get more lost. You can't figure out what Ion's doing, and you misinterpret Ion. And he's actually in a replay very clear. Because I know where he's going, because I know what the joke is or the point. So I'm watching Sheila get – Sheila, I mean, Allison's inside it like we all are when we're first listening to it. So we're watching it in a person getting seduced in the first round. And I'm not in that position as I'm listening to this tonight, right? Because I've heard it before, so I have a bit of an advantage. So I like hearing Allison's innocent response. Oh, wait, this is confusing. And knowing that Carolyn's confused, right? This is the, and you're seeing that Carolyn's confused too, and say, wait a minute. Just as the voice on the recording said, wait a minute. The voice goes, hey, didn't you say that yourself? Remember that?
Yeah.
Ask you, Bob, do you feel like, you know, where you say you're not, you remember what the outcome is? Because I remember talking to you and you said, you know, you really don't remember anything about cash flow until you listen to it again. So
yes.
This is like, to it again for you on a Sunday night.
You're
remembering as it flows. You're spurred. You hear something and it triggers.
I start to remember. The hearing it reminds me of it.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday, I don't know what was discussed in the cash flow, but Sunday night when I listen to hour one, hour two, and Monday night, but I start to remember it as I'm getting into it. Then it comes back to me, you know, as I'm listening. Oh, yeah, I know where this is going, you know, and I really enjoy it. I get the jokes, and I'm almost in the position of Ion, who knows where it's going because he's already done the show before we experience it. JW heard the show Tuesday night and said, this is going to be a great show, Bob. He heard it. It's very – it would be confusing to understand what JW – he hears the show beforehand, and then he's kind of noticing it, but half asleep when it's happening. It's incredible confusion that JW is inside of in all this. You know what I mean? When he was doing cash flow, he's kind of recognized it, but he's not all there. Anyway, that's a whole other strange thing to hear JW talk about what he's experiencing when it's happening Wednesday morning, and he's already heard it Tuesday night, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I feel like I'm in that position on Sunday. It all comes back to me. I know where this guy member, you know. But not always. Sometimes I forget where it's going. So, okay. So I think, Allison, unless you have more to say, let's see where it goes. It's going to be a little bit of banter back and forth, but watch what he can't. Look, we know that he says that it got, well, maybe he didn't, but a lot of INET say that they think that the creations go to the Guff. You know what I mean? I heard them say it.
Mm-hmm.
So they've thought that. And so is there anything you want to say before we continue?
Sheila?
I recognize your confusion. I know that you're right. You want to go back. He's being perverse. He doesn't even want to he doesn't want to allow us to go back, almost.
No, I know. I'm just saying, you know, so you said a lot of INETs emailed in?
No, I have said on rewrite in that. It's been, Sheila's probably remembers someone saying, well, our creations go to the Guff. You remember someone saying that, Sheila?
Oh, yeah. That's a common, like, accepted, you know, knowing.
Right, and Sheila, when that was said, I didn't agree with that, but I didn't at that point. I was too bored. I'm not going to interrupt because I knew that the essence went through. And so I thought, well, maybe I missed the fact that the creations go there, but from my understanding, they didn't. But I'm on a different position there. But in general, people think for some reason the creations go to the Guff, and that voice on there, I don't want to identify the person, they thought it. Sheila thought, I mean, Allison thought, so we all know it's that interpretation is circulating around, right? So there we are. Even Carolyn had
the reason
it.
One of the reasons, this is quite the term to use, one of the ways that I thought that was I heard it from Ion.
That's right.
I
he
mean,
has actually
really...
said it. I think he said it sometimes.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Your essence goes there with all your unrealized creations.
That's right. And the person who objects to that says, yeah, don't you say that? It's not just Abraham's. I totally know why she says it, because we have heard Ion say it. It might have been casual slack Ion. You know, he's just not being precise. Or I don't know why it had become the delusion or something. I don't know, but that's enough about that. Let's go forward and see how this gets resolved.
Well, we can, but Sheila, I have to ask you, did you not hear from Ion how many times that your unrealized creations go to the Guff?
Yeah, yes.
Yep.
Many times.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to, there's a surprise, that is true, he did say it. Now, this is a coming up, a surprising alibi escape by Ion. Now, listen, you'll be surprised how he gets out of this.
Which I love, because this is now. Okay,
yeah,
here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. It's not the computer, Bill, it's Bob's fingers.
Look, let me say the statement. You guys laughed and drowned it out. You didn't even hear the rest of it. Sure wish you'd fix your damn computer, -, it's playing havoc with my nap time. Bill, steal the show.
Of course. Doesn't everybody?
And what is it? I don't know if anything's wrong with my computer. I click on it and...
Well, I shouted out to him to turn it on, but then I think you turned it on.
I don't know. Let's try this. I'll try clicking and see if it works.
Oh, stop, Bill Barney's.
I don't know. It seems that Ion last week held back the stuff, and I can't tell whether he's still holding it back. I'm going to click this.
I'd like to thank you very much for coming to our concert tonight.
Yeah. You know what happened there, James? I didn't know
what
to do. Hey, James.
The mother's invention saying good night. That's what Ion just played.
Mm-hmm.
Now, good job, Ion.
What?
What was that?
The flushing toilet from Ion.
That's not even listed here. I don't have that one. So I wanted to play this one. Doesn't get played. So Ion's controlling the whole thing. So, Bill, don't blame me. Nothing to do with my computer. It's the havoc that Ion's the devil monster. Damn, gas station, motel cheeseburger with a side of aircraft noise.
or you'll be carrying
on
the air.
On the wings of the soul, why he sends it pure and sweet love to the land from above.
Okay.
I have to stop for a second because we were doing this because I was listening for the first time, and I have this fresh ear, and I told you that many of the shows, I listen to something, and it's literally many subjects that have come up for me during the week, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
linear, but whatever. And tonight, the guy that I told you about, the Illuminati comment.
Yeah.
He asked me if I played Pinochle.
Yeah.
We just heard a Pinochle reference.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
good.
That's just ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Yes. You yeah. heard that a few hours ago.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. I'm going to...
No, no, you heard that. That comment happened today, November 30th, for you, Allison, the Pinochle, right? Pinochle,
yep.
Whatever the word is.
Pinochle.
No.
Pinochle.
We love you, Bob.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you call Genesis? I can't remember. You've done it.
Genoesis. I don't know. Genesis. Variations. But no, the point is that for you, November 30th, you heard a guy say Pinochle, and now, and a couple hours later, it's happening right here in the experience of later in the night when you're doing the show. Yeah, I know. It's part of your today's events.
Correct. And the show aired long before he said Pinochle.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Okay, that happens to you a lot in your experience with Iondom and the show. You've reported emails to me a lot. That's and I think it happens to other
yep.
people. So it was inevitable. Like, I didn't know a few hours ago that we were going to do this tonight, and I'd forgotten. Then I suddenly remembered. And I said, oh, shit, I got to phone Allison and see if we're going to do it tonight. And now we're doing it. But it was already going to happen no matter what, because you had experienced Pinocchi many hours ago. So it had to happen tonight. So that you could have the experience.
Sheila, Bob's recall, word recall is priceless. Okay.
Yeah, I may mispronounce some of the words, but I get the general pattern pretty good.
Oh, I love, actually what's weird is my dad did that, so there's kind of this weird adoration of, oh, yeah, he used to do that too. Foliage, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we go back to the recording?
No, I want to talk. Isn't that incredible? I'm there trying to put on things, and Ion is pressing the virtual, non-physical button and playing these other special effects. See, it's all listed on the side, these different special effects. Like, I can play the mother zapping them going, good night, boys and girls. That's what I was going to do. But actually, I was going to play that song, Shall We Take Ourselves Seriously? And I was clicking that, and nothing comes on, but then the good night comes on, and Ion played something. Now, I can't even get any of my buttons to work, and he can get any button he wants. And he's using my repertory, what I got on there. I didn't have the toilet flushing, but I had the applause and something else. It's just incredible to rehear him playing with the sound effects.
So who's in charge?
Well, he is at this point. In terms of where I want to do something on the computer, he can stop me. He can trump what I'm saying. I can't beat him. It's at his will and caprice whether I get to play anything. So
okay.
I'm appreciating what we're going to discuss in the third hour, which Carolyn said, yeah, Carolyn says, aren't we going to talk about the anomalies piling up? I said, no, that's later. And Ion says, well, that's in a minute. But actually, I know it's going to be the third hour when Chad calls in. This whole power of the computer that Ion has. But we're getting, Ion's predicting hour three by showing already his command of the chip landscape right there. I can't click on anything now knowing whether it's going to play or not. Before, I click and come on. Now, I don't know whether Ion's going to let me play or play something else. So it's not in my hands anymore. And I assume Bill's not doing it. Ion's doing it. And there is something later that happens that Ion plays that proves it's Ion. I'm pretty sure. I don't think it's Bill. But anyways, Bill's not giving an opinion on the matter. So we're witnessing Ion right here. Right, Sheila? I mean, get the advantage of the replay. It's pretty incredible what Ion's doing here.
Yeah.
It's really
so I want,
fun.
Yeah, it's incredible. So that I want to reinforce that, my appreciation of what's going on here. And you know, I had the old line in Club 22, when you're laughing, you're learning. You know, James and I and Carolyn, every time Ian does some new weird new thing, it's a new experience, we're learning, or we're going to try to figure out how to categorize it, but we first laugh. You hear James and everybody laughing because it's so ridiculous, interesting what's happening, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, do you feel like when you laugh, you without being too metaphysical here, you open up some space for acceptance?
I think that's the perceptual joy of learning. You're laughing because you're getting a new experience. You know there's an order to this, but you didn't expect it, and it's like odd, and I don't know if I can explain it. How this happened, but it's happening, and I'm enjoying it. So you laugh. That's like appreciation without mind. Then you stop and explain the joke, you know, and then the mind comes in.
That's where the enjoy comes in, I think.
Enjoy is the laughing, is the laughter, and then enjoying is explaining why you thought it was enjoyable. That's when you claim you learned. Like, so we'll laugh, and then we attempt to explain it. And that's the mind part, the secondary part, trying to conceptualize the reason it happened. But your laughter is expressing perception of something interesting symmetrically happening.
And you really don't need the explanation to experience it anyway.
But you know what? You keep laughing, and then you can't laugh forever, so you stop, create the vacuum because you stop laughing, and then you fill in some words. And then you build up that fills up the vacuum. Then you can laugh again.
That's interesting.
It's tension release. And Zappa said he made his music, create tension with dissonance, then release it. And you can see that's what he's doing. You can see in some of the songs I play later in the show. He creates this tension, dissonance, odd kind of tones. Then he plays beautiful stuff, and you're relieved. Then he goes back into dissonance or some odd stuff. And then he releases it with some cliche, nice stuff. That is the drama that goes on interacting with Ion. Ion created dissonance by claiming that he never said about going to the creations, going to the Goth, right? And now he's leading to the release. He's going to release us here by what he explained. He's coming up to it, Sheila, Allison. You haven't heard how he's going to... Sheila has forgotten. Sheila's forgotten how he's going to release this. It's amazing how he gets... He's in a trap here. We all know that he said that. And he's saying, no, the Abrahams say that, and they're wrong, and he never said that. And now he's kind of trying to explain a little bit, say something different and confuse us, but he's going to come to a very clear proof that he's right. So let's go towards that.
Well, it sounds like a sine cosine thing too.
Oh, that's always brought in. Yeah, you. It's a. Think of tension release as a circle. You're going in a direction, and then you don't like that direction, and it curves around and goes back. That's a circle. Tension
exactly.
release. So you're right to bring in the
exactly.
sine wave cosine.
Yeah. There's a fun thing about a jet ski. I don't know if you've ever been on one, Sheila or Bob.
No, I know what it is.
I fell off one once in 1970, and I was chasing it, thinking I had to get back to it to get on it to make it work. And it goes in a circle so that you can catch it again. It's so funny. That's how it is meant to be. And
programmed to do that.
What?
It's programmed to do that.
Correct. And I was chasing
yeah.
it, not knowing that I could just sit there and have it come around again and I could hop
right.
on it. It's kind of weird. Anyway.
No, it's kind of
okay.
nice.
Anything?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay.
Andy, go.
Record it, make a sound bite, make a copy, bury it, dig it up, make a copy, stamp it, file it, lose it, and then send it to Bill, post it, so Bob cannot push the button to play it. Maybe that's the thing. Bob.
So what, Carol, do you have these unmanifested creations? They don't go to the God. What goes to the God?
And then unmanifested.
Not what we're saying. It's not the
creations
point.
Creations go to the God.
Oh, he just said that. He just denied it in the quote.
The point now is we want to show you to come into your place of power to have it now. You don't have to go anywhere to not get them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to advertise that you can die and then take them with you. Well, that's no fun either. So why?
Well, it's less than. It's the excuse of why you're less than. Well, we ain't having that. So if you're less than, go ahead and pack your stuff because you'll want to get the U-Haul and meet you at the Gov.
So even just
come in.
Even just talking about, oh, well, when I die, my unmanifested creations will go to the Gov, people will use that as an excuse to die?
Yep. I don't know.
I got to stop it. I get it. Okay. I'm going to start it again.
Okay. Yeah, but you didn't get it. There's even more coming.
Okay.
Okay, Carol, now I haven't taken anything in yet. I'm trying to find out what is that. Where is unmanifested creations go to the Gov?
Only a 3-hour show, Bob.
They do go to the Gov, but ION is taking the emphasis off that now so that people don't think about it that way, but realize that they can know that they can have their manifestations. Here, KNOW, that they can manifest here and not even think about dying and taking them to the Gov.
When he said the Abrahams claimed their unmanifested creations go to the Gov, that's what the Abrahams were known to have said.
Correct.
I did not know
yes,
that.
Yes, and we said that too to the 99.
So Ion has changed.
Well, yes, since he's begun to have in one hand a 1%, in the other hand a 99%, then I guess they each have a different distinction.
Now, because I listen so well
to what... It's a different vector.
I'm not interested in what you're saying. I want to establish what's
been
said so far.
No.
You
have
keep
to,
quiet.
You
keep quiet.
You're a neutron in mind that only we're speaking to you.
Well, no, I was listening, and I overheard this statement. And I played it for a bunch of people, like Carol, and I go, wait a minute, that's odd. And the statement said that what Abraham said about going to the Gov, manifest creation, not manifest going to the Gov, is not what Ion's about. And we know Ion had said that. So Ion says this, we disagree with the Abraham position, right?
Yeah.
And he did not tell us that was a new position.
Right, and now we're finding out that now because we didn't ask, and he's defining that.
I asked. I presented this. I mean,
it's the 99 and the 1%. And that's what the difference is.
So he's now addressing. When he tells people not to relax, don't worry about relaxing and allowing now, that's part of addressing just the 1%ers.
Right.
Two. There's nothing to relax or allow.
And manifest right here and don't even think about the
Now, do you see that no one noticed, even in this group, no one noticed that Ion, well, they didn't pursue it. They didn't notice. Oh, didn't you say that before? And
if they pursued it, they would have gotten the answers we're getting now.
I don't know about what answers they would have gotten.
Very vectorish of you, darling.
Mm-hmm.
How very what?
Vectorish.
Vectorish. So the whole change, people have noticed a change in Ion. It's now been explained that Ion is only talking to the 1%. Therefore, things that he said last year do not apply.
Correct.
Well, if he got you somewhere, good, congratulations. But then we also said, we don't care where you are, it's where you stop. It's when you stop.
Yeah, well, you've said that a lot. That's been going on with that.
Well, now we're going to say it again, and this is the purpose. Because now once you get you in your power, and once you get to ascension, and once you get all the crap you can possibly create, that's a lot of crap, then all of a sudden, then you'll have questions, and you'll have more engagements of maybe to make up a whole nother summer world to go and play in, and then we'll move into a whole nother position, and on and on and on and on and on. It's no problem. Don't stop.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So what did you learn now?
Get happy or get out.
So manifest.
Don't stop still.
Manifest your creation. Manifest all your creation.
Yeah.
If you get rid of, once you finally get rid of time, you almost won't even have to manifest them. You'll already have them.
So the summer world, you can create your own summer world. That means whatever weather.
Okay, first of all, it's really great that we're reviewing this show because this is a major revelation I have made. And you now heard enough to get the point. When he was disagreeing with the Abrahams a week or so ago, he was following what he said a month ago. He's been saying for a month or 6 weeks, we ain't talking the 9% anymore. We're talking the 1%. We now have had a consequence of that. A consequence is he's going to just let this car go by outside. What is that? The FedEx, the UPS truck comes by about this time. We now have an application of what this means that he's only addressing 1%. He's now going to say things that he didn't say before. And so he said before, the manifestations go to the gut. But that was for the 99%ers. Now he's saying, don't even worry about what goes to the gut. You ain't going to the gut, 1%ers. You can manifest, and you don't even have to worry about manifesting your creation because you got forever. See, this is he's made knowable what are the meanings of shifting to the aspect of addressing the 1%.
Anything
he's ever said that we've heard and half of the tailgaters memorized and repeated ad nauseum doesn't apply anymore.
Yeah, even in private engagements, it's like anything that happened before Occupy Wall Street, because that's when that meme came in, the 1%
yeah.
and the 99ers.
Yeah.
It's like it's all different now. It's all like, wait.
Yeah.
You said this before, but now it's different.
Remember, Sheila, many of your friends and Ionettes have said there's been a change in Ion since we came back from our 7-week trip in Europe and all that. Ion came back.
Yeah.
He seemed meaner or something. And
yeah.
all this different. Everybody knows it. Well, now we have an example, at least on the verbal conceptual level, of what the change means. Anything that he said before, he's going to say he didn't say. Because he's not. All that we heard him say before was not addressed to the 1%ers. It was addressed to the 99%ers.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't that neat? Allison? Isn't this pretty interesting, this whole what he's done?
Absolutely, and I hear what you're saying. You were saying it, you know, that Sheila's friends are hearing it differently. Well, anybody is hearing it differently.
Yeah, everybody is. But among the friends, the INS, they talk about it, and I hear about it, or I tune in, and they have a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Other people told me there's something different about Ion. This is the first example of what this means. And so then he said, we can then have a summer school. Like I had said, every school has its recess. I was saying that to Shannon last week. Remember Shannon last week? She said, I was asking, what do you remember from the old days? She said, well, and she started to say it. And I thought she was going to say, my slogan, every school has a recess. He says, no, no. What I remember was the shocking first thing you said, Bob, is that school will make you stupid. Remember that whole conversation? Well, every school has its recess. I'm thinking of recess as summer school. When you go into recess, it's a different situation. Ion just said, if you re-listen to it, he said, we've done this in this situation today, and we're just talking to 1%. Now we can go to a new situation, and we're gonna say something different in that new situation. He's calling the potential new situation summer school.
I think he said summer world. Didn't he say summer world and not school?
Oh, yeah, right. He probably said summer world. Now I'm thinking summer school, recess. Yeah, you're right, summer world. Some other, a totally different environment. We have to realize that that ion will change in different environments, and he's calling each environment or medium a vector.
Well, I have to say, too, that I was listening to summer world, and because I've heard Genesis, the first chapter.
Yeah.
There's a reference to there is the, I think it's the morning and the evening.
Oh yeah, that's
and
right.
The
evening
anything,
and morning and the afternoon and something else is not real. It's the
exactly.
Yeah.
So I think there might be some some reference or some
Just as he says evening and morning is real and afternoon and night are not, he could say winter and spring are real and fall and summer aren't. You know, in the same parallel, same kind of setup. Only two of the four are real.
It kind of was in response to what we were talking about before, though, the way that it was laid out. So anyway, I just noticed that.
The summer world, what he's done, he said a new word.
Summer.
We don't even know why he's saying that. But he's planting that, and he'll explain that next week or 2 weeks. You know, then we'll get to somewhere explaining. But he does that. He pushes forward, says a new thing. We go, what? And then you can either think about it or just wait till he explains. But, yes, he said, I don't know why. I've never heard him say summer world before. I don't know why he's saying that. But I'm making an instant theory. I'm thinking of every school has a recess. That probably may be wrong. Your theory may be even better, that there's four aspects. Miming the evening and morning is real, but the afternoon and night are not. That's what he says in Genesis chapter 1.
Yeah.
And remember, Sheila, you've heard that. That's incredible. He says that's what's happening to Brian. Remember that part, Sheila?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. So digression. What do you think of Genesis? I have not spoken to you, Allison. What do you make of it? Because you have not heard all the preparatory book of Revelation.
Correct. I only heard 23 and a few other addendums on that level. But
yeah.
I just think Genesis or Genesee is, I loved it.
But
I
you also told me that you couldn't understand all of it.
I did?
I think you did. Maybe that's another Allison. Okay, you understood everything in it?
Well, I don't understand anything, but I listened, and there's a big difference between listening and hearing, according to Ion.
Right. Hearing is the better version.
But no, I've listened to it a few times, and it was phenomenal. It was amazing the way it was laid out.
Yeah, yeah.
And you and I are very akin on the fact that we're not Bible scholars. So I listen to it on that level too. I'm like, I don't have any, in some ways I think it's really good because I don't have a pre-notion of what has been said.
Yeah.
So I hear it clearly from what's being said now.
Yeah.
And it was outrageously cool.
Yeah, it's unique. Okay, so, Sheila, you have something to say about what we're so far, about what this whole interesting new... Do you see what I meant? He was coming to a conclusion, which was, hey, guys, you're assuming that what I said 6 months ago is that we're doing now. Well, what do you mean? What's doing now? Oh, I'm only addressing the 1%ers. That's the punchline I'm saying. He gets out with that. He escapes with that explanation.
Yeah, now I do remember that. That was the thing.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah. Very cool.
He's very crafty. He knows what he's doing, you could say. If you're feeling in a good mood towards him, he was teaching us something there, or showing us how we get trapped, and then we're saying, wait a minute, you said da 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 da. Well, you assume this is the same old ion who said that 6 months ago. No, it's a new ion. I'm only talking to 1%ers now.
Well, yeah, it's perfect because I could say that, and I think I have said that to him. Wait a minute, you said, 4 months ago, this, and It's like, oh, man. So,
okay.
Yeah, I got a little pissed off.
Yeah, Sheila. I started to point out on the rewrites that don't accept anything Ian says, because he's going to include the opposite eventually, so you get to the both. And then there's going to be the plus factor. I would say the both is, he says one thing 6 months ago, and then 3 months later, he said something else, so you become aware of the complementary yin-yang and both sides apply. The and now, both and, the and thing is, oh, I'm only addressing the one presenters now. We had not foreseen that.
Yeah.
You get angry that he reminded you that both sides are always true. And he says, this is the way it is. And you learn that, oh, okay, this is the way it is. And then you find out, oh, no, the other side of it is true, because you're resisting to make the dialectic and the dichotomy. And you get trapped in the dichotomy. And he makes you wake up to that by shifting from what you thought he said to something else. That's all within the bothness. Now we have the and, which we didn't foresee, is that not only both, and we're going to get you trapped in one side of the dichotomy, you don't realize that the dichotomy should not distract you and don't get involved in it. Now we're not even addressing you when you were like that as a 99%er. Now you're 1%er. We're going to say something totally different.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, all the time. Because the change is what, it's always undermining the slower life of the mind. The mind's, oh, okay, now I know this.
Yeah,
and he's going to speed it, constantly speed up and erase you. Even can't even begin to say a thought to say that you've learned that. Very good.
So
we're doing great.
It's the speed of light that's changing.
And we go fast than the speed of light now. Remember, it's speed of thought. The neutrino thing came out during the break, and then once we came back, no more Einstein. No more speed of light. We now are at what I used to call speed of thought, but basically tachyonic. Everything's already happened already, and you cannot do anything new almost. It's already happened. That's neutrino. That's faster speed of light, and the past, present, future dynamic doesn't apply anymore. It's all wasness. You're going to hear Ian talk about, you may not have heard much of this, but it's isness and arness. You've heard that. Well, the new factor to triangulate it is wasness. Have you heard Ian do that yet?
No,
but that speaks to me as triangulation, because there was only two points before.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is what, the rear view mirror? The wasness is the rear view mirror?
I don't know if I could say what wasness. I think of wasness as tachyonic. It's already happened.
It's more of the 3 points, I think, Sheila, but go ahead.
Yeah, the isness, if something is out there in the public. You know that there's Bill Gates and he created something. The earnest is when you make that world apply to you somehow. It's just a general. You've heard about the outer kingdom. When you bring it into your inner kingdom or the middle kingdom, that's earnest. Now, Ian can shift that and flip it depending on who he's talking to. I've heard him flip it. But you notice the isness and the earnest is dealing with the fact you're dealing with what seems to be now or has a past and then brought into the present and the future. But then he moves it to another level. No, this isness and earnest already happened in the world of wasness. So there is no figuring out your earnest in relation to the isness, because what you figured out already happened on the wasness level. That's how I explain it now.
Which is kind of like the talk about the guff, because guff was a kind of a past tense is not the right word, but I think if you reviewed the way that they are trying to present the guff now, it would have to do with wasness.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that. You know, Sheila, you said the first, before we start recording, the first hour is really good, and I said, well, I found the first hour kind of slow. I love the third hour, but now I'm listening to the first hour. It's incredible what's going on here. But I'm able to know the first hour now. It's kind of like maybe it's a wasness for me, so I can hear it.
We're only at 29 minutes. You want to hear more?
Oh, yeah, let's keep going. We're going to do the first hour, no matter how long it takes.
Okay, Sheila, you want to stay up all night?
No, we'll get it done in the next hour or so.
Okay, all
right. That's all night for Sheila. Hold on.
The 99%ers over the last year said, I want to get in touch with my non-physical, okay?
Where's my soulmate, and I want my money check, and put some money checks in my account, and blah, blah, blah. You know that. I was right. Don't emphasize the non-physical. It's a place you go when you're a loser, right? The non-physical, the guff, because Mayan said to find himself as the place of the non-physical or the guff.
point now is to stay in the physical, but not a limited notion of physical. And
well, it's a good thing y'all got unlimited long distance if we are so far away as this nebulous gum 3 inches from me.
Right. So when people write in, I want to get in touch with my non-physical, blah blah blah. We can't address that issue. That's a 99%er approach. You know, there's not an issue about
well,
non-physical.
We'll decide. We'll decide which ones are 1%. Don't worry about that.
And who are you?
The decider of the percentage that you achieve.
The decider. That's the new name now, the decider.
Forget the hammer.
Okay.
Bob,
you're the hammer. Ion's the decider. I like that. The decider.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right, so we have, at least from my point of view, it's never finished, never done, but we'll move on to another topic.
Great. I mean, I love the fact that it's never finished, never done.
And you understand that if I had not brought this issue up by paying attention to what Ion said and mentioning it, you wouldn't have been able to decide what the decider had decided.
Exactly, Bob.
But they would have already knew that they know that the known outcome was predicated in
their
own.
They didn't know nothing.
So you're maintaining your position that because you don't get it, they don't have a prayer.
Right. That's all right. So Bob gets it. Nobody gets it.
Just
they wouldn't know to get it.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, there's all of the question, what's a creation? Is it a thought? Is it a word? What is it? You know? So
it's physical.
Yeah. And only a small part of you is physical. The majority of you is non-physical. But what's that non-physical?
Praying.
That's the majority of you.
The space between you and you.
Is that the guff?
No. Hell no.
All right. See? Now the guff is not
non-physical. The guff is what the 99 used to hold on to heaven.
Ah, so how much of the guff is emptied now? The guff seems...
Much.
See?
Much.
That's why he's dropping the guff.
Too.
Was the majority of the guff emptied on March 18, 2009? That's why you came forth to create?
No.
What was going on in that moment?
Well, sign up for the 99 Club, Bob, and you can talk about that. We're not speaking about that.
You won't even talk about it. He stopped. See,
he's done, right?
Yeah, that's not good.
We're done with that.
You're obsolete.
Right.
You stopped.
Good.
You should not stop.
Good. Come in here, pal.
I have to talk about this now.
That is fucking awesome. Oh, my. I didn't realize how good this is.
See?
Don't you think, Sheila, that was pretty profound the last 5 minutes, wasn't it?
It was.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you'd have to stop soon, Sheila. It's just building up. I mean, Ellis, it's just building up. You just, holy shit. Wow. We got to stop.
You guys have already heard it, and I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, that's what we're in the position, you know, watchers watching watcher. What's fun is Sheila and I are watching you go through what we went through.
Did you
go through the first phase?
Seriously?
Yeah, no, we didn't know what was going on. You don't know what's going on. You're intrigued and puzzled. I'm not so puzzled rehearing it, and I'm appreciating it on a richer level.
Yeah, this is a really rich one.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I wanted to talk about Prince last week and how, you know, I'm going to the concert and they mention Prince. This is like 10 levels deep of
yeah.
the ninth gate or whatever
yeah.
on this one.
Can you imagine if someone a new listener comes in and hears this? Like, what the fuck are they? You see, what's funny to me is, they wouldn't know what the hell I'm objecting to Ion about. I'm going, oh, no, you did that. Yeah, you fucking stopped there. You fucked up there. You know what I mean? Like, they wouldn't even know why I'm objecting.
I was hoping we would do this show last week because John, he was priceless. I loved saying that he came in and he said what he said, and he's like, it's a fucking monkey, you know, whatever.
Yeah, he's the first to articulate clearly what it's like to be a new listener. We have never had that.
I loved it. He's like, what the fuck are these people all on drugs? And
he said, I couldn't listen to it, but he said he kept being drawn back. He kept sort of saying, let me try to go back in and see if this is a monkey host. And eventually he survived it.
And then he also said he doesn't listen to anything else anymore. And
That's later. Once he realized how good it was, he said, oh, I love this much. It's not a monkey host. This is where it's at. Yes, that's later. But what were you just going to say? You and Sheila what?
No, I was going to say that Sheila and I discussed that that is the total MO for somebody who was like us, who were listening to the various, you know, people that we listen to, the
usual suspects.
Yeah, the usual suspects. And then we ended up finding you or finding this, and we're like, that's it. Nothing more.
Yeah.
Same thing with him. And he articulated it really beautifully, and it was fun to hear.
Yeah, because this is so deep and rich. All possible thoughts you could have or responses to any conversation is being done in this dialogue. You know, the other guys are easily dismissed or interpreted or find out they got a stupid message, and it's limited. We still don't know what the hell we're talking to here.
It's way beyond this, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah, it's way beyond. We're appreciating the depth of this, and it's enough. I'm only going to listen to this because it's big enough to get every kind of neat thing I can get. But I know there's, I don't even get the whole thing yet. What do you hear the third hour?
Well, I was thinking about you and you know, Zappa's comment. Who's going to entertain me or make me laugh?
Yeah, who's going to make me laugh, right?
And I was like, well, Bob is. But
yeah.
But at the same time, that's a really good metaphor for the
and
Ionette
and Ionette. Ed Long told me that when he got interested in Ion in the spring of 2010, he knew that his audience was getting bored with Project Camelot and The Usual Suspects, and he was frustrated, and he didn't know where to go, and it's just boring, and they're almost like turning off. Then Ion opened up a whole new plateau vista. And he says, wow, look at this, an old new sandbox we can play in. I don't care about the Project Camelot. So Ion released the tension that was building up in Ed's audience. And that meant something.
Well, Sheila, for you and me, I mean, I would assume you will be the same way, and you speak for yourself. But I think we asked for the same thing that Ed Long did, which was, you know, we've done all this shit.
Yes, this is getting depressed. Everybody, Marguerite was telling me that back then they were all getting depressed. They're just getting, it was like, how can I have an experience of listening to something and not get depressed? You know, take me somewhere else. And nobody was taking any worse.
Yeah, it was just too, it was just, you know, I'd get angry looking at the chemtrails. Everything was like, everything was wrong.
Yeah, I was bored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Ion, that's an example of we call forth. When the people get frustrated, they're beginning to call forth a new environment, a new technology. They don't know what it is, and it'll show up. So the frustration of Project Camelot helped create Ion.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, Bob, is the Evergreens the predecessor to Ion?
Yeah, they were the greatest. I didn't listen to the Abrahams, didn't turn me on. Oh, Paul Shockley's level of cosmic awareness. No other mediums that were around were nothing compared to the Evergreens, and they were awesome. I whipped Prince Charles, I whipped the Rockefeller, I whipped everybody on the Secret Council Assembly because I had the advantage of the Evergreens. They were the best in the world, and I tell the story that on March 17, 2009, I finally had a guy in Toronto who had digitized all my many 64-plus hours of Evergreen sessions, like over $20,000 I paid for them over 24 years. I had them all on my computer. And at the end of March 17th, I'm sitting there, wow, I can go to any particular session, and there's hours of it, and listen to something again. And I had an old written inventory. So that night I end up talking to JW, and he says a bunch of stuff, the ghosts around him, and I go, oh, maybe that's the Evergreens. So let's talk tomorrow. The next day, I try to see what the hell ghosts are around Ion. JW and thinking it's the Evergreens, and turns out to be Ion. The next day, the Evergreens were obsolete. I didn't know it right away, but I tidied up my estate, now had easy access to all my Evergreens on the 17th, and they were going to be irrelevant in 24 hours. Because
oh, wow.
Ion was going to unfold. What'd you say?
I said, oh, wow.
Sorry,
yeah.
Sheila,
yeah, no, you
wow.
said, wow.
Yeah.
And so what was happening was I had entered a new reality. You know, and I didn't know what was going to happen over the next 6 months, but I had, just when you're fixing, and this is what Ion says McLuhan was always saying, you people think you're now getting to know something, and right when you think you've got something to know, it has shifted, and now you're into a new zone. And that's what happened with the Evergreens. I had it all ready, and now I could, in a relaxed
complacent poise. Oh, look at that. Oh, yeah, they said that. That's interesting. That helped me do this, blah, blah, blah. And now, and I've never gone back and listened to them. I've never used the archives because the next day I got involved with this thing that would give me sessions for 5 hours. The earrings, you only give you an hour at $500. Here it was for free, and I had endless access, so I've never stopped.
Well, and I have to relate to the way that you discovered this. You had a, you know, that's what you brought in. But the same thing for us, like Sheila and me, I'll include you, Sheila, here. But
thank you.
We had been exploring so many, you know, adventures and vibrations and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, when we hit on you guys, it was like, what? This is it. This is
yeah.
This makes most sense of what we are talking about or what we felt or whatever.
What you thought was going on.
Yeah, I knew it instantaneously,
yeah.
But it was also the humor that was just so, like,
yes.
You know, it's like, all right, this is awesome, and it's funny. So what more do I need or want or desire?
Yeah, Ion had, you know, you were in the Colorado mountains meditating that summer of 2009, I think it was, and there was no jokes going around about the New Age circuit. Ion suddenly became the Lenny Bruce and provided a perspective on it all.
Yeah.
Good. That's right. Lenny Bruce, you're right.
Yeah. He found out a way to joke about it and then add and upset the basic points. Like, you know, the beginning one is every death is a suicide. You got Steve from Nova Scotia. He comes in April 2009, and he starts hearing this, and we're having a good time one night talking to Ion. And then Ion was... Then Steve brings up the starving Ethiopians, and Ion starts explaining, well, there's no problem there. And this outraged Steve. What do you mean? You know, he's a normal Canadian, help people, industrialize them, and he just couldn't accept that Ion had no problem with the starving Ethiopians and that they were better off than Steve. That's when Steve started to block on it. He couldn't take that. And then to jump that up to every death is a suicide, he couldn't believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a big step for most people, but it doesn't really matter anymore, does it?
Well, you're stoned. Yeah, you're stoned on Ion.
Yes, it doesn't really matter anymore unless it does for you.
Well,
you know.
I keep wrestling I don't get totally lost and it doesn't matter. I'll try to make it matter. I keep resisting just as a side project. Okay, I don't agree with Ion. I think it's important to help those people. But, you know, there's
Let's say you meet somebody, Bob, and they're, you know, they have certain rules that they want to adhere to, and it doesn't really matter, you know, what you could say to them. Every death is a suicide.
No, it matters to them. They're still knowing that speech matters or ideas matter. And so what I'll do with the...
Make a difference.
What?
Well, what I say to them is not going to make a difference.
You can't tell them from the Ion perspective. But I will say, in the course of a conversation, just to go along with the normal assumption, maybe bring in a little McLuhan or something slightly different, and then they open, I never heard that idea before. And you gradually move, and if it goes on long enough, then you can maybe point out that every death is a suicide, and then they're going to stop at that point. Okay, I can't take that. Or that's interesting. Conversation ends. If they come back, then you spiral around again and go deeper. But and I don't even agree that every death is suicide, but I'll use that because I know it's something they've never heard before and they need to consider it.
Wow. So we're kind of evaluating Ion as a placated scenario.
Relegation. Placated relegation. I don't even know what that means, but Ion uses relegate a lot.
Yeah? Yeah,
he's always talking about relegation.
It kind of means that we don't have to adhere to the whole thing, but we could if we want to.
Yeah,
I was going to say it's objectionable. You know, you could agree to part of it and not the whole thing. So.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people see. Ion
I think McClellan once said, what entertains or delights teaches the best. Ion delights and massages and vibrates, and you love it. And then, you know, that opens you up to consider some of the crazy things he's saying. And most people will come back and, well, I want to get massaged and delighted. And I don't totally agree with Ion, but I'm coming back because it's fun. And over time, they might get so stoned, like you were saying, I agree, every suicide is a death, you know, every death suicide, cause they don't care because they're stoned on RNA drops and the massage. And so there's actually this is a major heart project, a major seduction of the world population by this evil demon monster, you know, he's just seducing everybody. They're all getting so
bored. Are we going to put that out on the airwaves?
What?
Are we going to put this? Are you
going to put this out on the
airwaves?
I might, since it's so long, I might just offer it, put it on dupes, and anybody can hear it, the whole thing.
Anyway, we want to go back to the cash flow?
Yeah. I think I want. Did you see the TV show V?
I have.
Some of it.
Yeah. Remember the woman leader of the UFO alien? She'd start talking, and they all go into a blissed out state. That's a good metaphor of a cash flow show.
Mm. Yes.
Remember, she put them all, they'd all bliss out and accept her tyranny or domination. Ion is sort of like that. It's almost the Android me making a negative projection of the Ion effect. And V showed up once Ion showed up.
I think of Hal.
Yeah. A very pleasant Hal. It's a Grateful Dead concert.
No,
for those
Hal.
Who like Grateful Dead. Yeah, I know Hal from 2001, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the what update, though, say Sarah from Eureka. Sarah is more what's going on. Ion says it's more like Sarah, the smart computer in the sheriff's home.
Yeah.
It's called
God.
Sarah. Self-actualized residential something habitat. Automatic habitat. Self-actualized residential automatic habitat. Sarah. That's Ion.
Wow. Not like Siri. Siri is the Apple one.
I don't know that. What, Apple, the company?
Siri is the Apple. You do too. Siri is the Apple virtual woman that's going to help you out with your phone.
I never see TV commercials, so I don't know that.
No, it's more, I haven't seen any commercials for it. It's Siri, and it's Siri is the Apple woman behind the
tech support?
Tech support.
Anyways, I've never heard of this. I don't know it. I never heard what you're talking about. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but you're talking about something that people know about?
Wow, you've never heard of Siri. Yes.
No. How would I hear about
Sheila.
It? Where is it?
Sheila?
Yeah. I've heard it mentioned.
Do you know about Siri?
I've heard her mentioned, but I don't know. I couldn't explain what it is.
Okay.
How do you know about it, Allison? It must be in commercials.
It's for Apple, and it's for your iPhone, and she is a robot, kind of, that answers to you.
I bought an iPhone when it came out, but I never used it, so I don't know anything about iPhone.
Okay. Well, do you want to know? Do you want me to email you the info?
Yeah, it sounds like it's one of the apps or something on the iPhone.
Yeah. Well, it's not an app, is it, Sheila?
You're asking the wrong person. I don't know.
I don't think it's an app.
And it's
not
tech
sure.
support. It's not tech support.
No, it's a system that works for your iPhone so that you can talk to her. She's like a female, and she talks back to you and tells
Neat.
You whatever.
And so it's automated automated tech support.
Yes.
I see.
In a way.
Okay, that's interesting. I didn't know that. So, anyways, that's good metaphor. Yeah, that's what Ion is. Siri.
Yeah. Siri. And a lot of people are kind of upset about it because they're like, oh, my God, you know, it's a computer chip talking to us and all this stuff. So.
It's like they can't handle the how factor. They can't the more and more the how factor is creeping in even
exactly.
in their appliances.
I do have more of the cash flow on our site here if you want to interject now. Can you
let's continue. No, we're just getting good. I like the way the conversation's going in on the show.
Go for it.
Sheila good?
Yep.
Okay. He answers for me.
I'm in your power. Nobody knows how to do that. Here's how you come into your power. Become a bingo gas station motel cheeseburger with a side of aircraft noise, or you'll beat Gary, Indiana.
Like Ion.
That's in a statement of an environment. That's what Ion is. It's a mixed media, mixed corporate media environment with side effects.
With satire.
With side ironically foolish. Okay, so nothing established yet. Good. So,
which is how Bob keeps it alive and real and never ending.
Never ending. Always creating. So, I started changing.
Well, we would say always created. Always created.
Yeah. I can get that a bit. I get it enough to pretend that I'm useful.
Something like, oh, well, now that'd be extreme.
Yeah. We're not taking questions as in emails anymore, but I think I liked a lot of the declarative statements that were sent in. I think we can encourage people to declare statements, not questions, you know.
And
whatever.
Have you given out the phone numbers yet?
No, not yet. So here's a sample of some declarative statements made last week. Somebody called J13 said, John, we know who you are. Little better than looking for the Oracle, so to say. LOL. So that's a little vague.
What does that mean?
Don't know. Then Lynette said, absolutely fantastic show once again, everyone.
Okay.
That was at the end of the show. Akito from 10 Steps Beyond said, good morning, Ion, Carol, and Bob, James, and all the Ionettes. Madness, you must be playing this for me since I've been listening to them lately again. So Akito liked the British ska band Madness and had been listening to them. Then he says, watch person on interest E7 around 40-minute mark. Person on interest E7 around 40-minute mark. The BGM goes, rocks cry out. Must be JJ's homage to CF. So that's ABIM. Oh, okay, so it's not French. Not sure what interest E7 is. It must be JJ's homage to Cashflow. Could you tell us? Oh, that's a question. Forget that.
I think it's homage.
Thanks for your advice on melting titanium. Yeah, you're right. What did I say? Homage? Homage? Yeah.
Homage.
So then Cider Somerset said from...
No. We can do some homerage. No.
Right. So Akito said, thanks for your advice on melting titanium. He tuned into melting titanium and got some advice.
Okay.
Yes, he did.
Okay, so then Cider Summer says, John.
You're welcome. We enjoyed having you. It was delightful.
John, who I think is the one who called in last week. John, your story is exactly the same as mine. I only came on board after James's first interview with Carrie and Bill. I am hooked, even though Bob is being bossy at the moment. I am still listening, even though I was not going to. LOL, Steve. So then Donnie out in Coxsack, he says, I love being in the monkey house. Remember, John thought we were a monkey zoo last week, so Donna likes it. John says, about time you had some British ska on the show. Complete madness. And then Cider Somerset comes back. Hi, all. Bob, you are in charge. That's why you won't read emails. But since I'm God, so I'm writing in. If you don't read it out, that means it's your rules. So how do we ignore your rules? Keep writing in until you change your rules. Cheers. Still listening. So he's right. He kept writing, and I changed the rules slightly. We read declarative statements, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lynette says, awesome songs over the break. Sexy Logic says, and he's writing in from Granada Hills on my computer, this music makes me feel like we are in a Happy Days episode from the 70s. And Donna from Coxsack, he says, love this show. Been listening to the archives from Ion's first show and can't get enough. Just grateful for all the information. Happy Thanksgiving all. Now, James, are these kind of declarative statements we should make just sort of celebratory?
Yeah, James, like your opinion really matters in this whole conundrum. let's drag James into it now. So when somebody says like this, we want emails. Well, James is show. He, you know, you talk to James about that. You know, hey, I'm just a guest here.
Well, the thing is, I don't see my making rules. That's why I didn't understand that point.
But you said we are no longer reading email questions, and so if you want Ion, you got to call in.
Yeah.
And now you go an hour, and you don't even give them the number so they can call in.
Yeah, you said we. I mean, you said we. I said we made the rules.
You did?
Yeah. So it does include James.
Yeah, but
yeah.
You did ask.
No, I want people to call in.
That's where the you and the mouse in your pocket without a hole in it.
I'm using ESP.
No,
I agree.
Well, people should call in.
In touch. We have, we're like little insects, you know, that attune.
Oh, that's better than PES.
PES? What's that, Carol?
Uh-oh, I don't know.
Let's see, what can we do? What, Carol?
I don't know, I'll look it up.
What happened, PES?
He started
up
his evil laugh.
Oh, PES.
Yeah.
So, if people go to the AchieveRadio.com, and you will see the call-in numbers. It's silly me reading them off. You're not going to write them down. You guys are lazy. I wonder if anybody's emailed anything in under the new list. Oh, yeah, look at this. Anti-fascist from row 88. Is that you taking quick messages any longer?
Yes. The Party of European Socialists? That would get us into the whole Euro thing. And my question, you know, apparently the European Union is gone, you know, their history. And when I went to Europe...
You mean the Euro's going to nothing? Where have we heard that before?
Exactly. So Ion has been telling us this all along. And I was in Europe a couple of times at Codex Alimentaris meetings. And my question to Ion is the falling apart of the European Union going to also make the Codex Alimentaris fall apart?
Well, of course, because we don't know if it makes it fall apart. You can make it.
Well, that's the question. You don't know it. She's asking whether it falls apart. Just stick with that. And you don't know, right? She doesn't know. So you answered the question, Carol.
No, you don't know.
Well, you can talk about other stuff, but you ought to know about that point.
It makes no difference whether it's implemented or not. It won't be enforceable.
Mm.
So we can't say that the codex is going to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
Is it enforceable, Carol? It hasn't been enforceable for years now, right? And it's having, from your point of view, the old days, it was having devastating effects, right?
Well, what happened was before it was even enforced, various countries decided to kind of partially succumb to these food and supplement standards that were being initiated. I thought out of Germany mostly, Ion said earlier that they originated first in the Netherlands. But anyway, it sort of already has a big impact because Canada has enforced Codex-like rules, Australia has, and in the States, they're trying to create rules that favor crappy supplements and crappy food that is part of the Codex mission.
Why did Ion just say it hasn't been enforced yet?
It's not enforceable, but I'm saying just the mere fact that this group has been working, it's the World Health Organization and
the WHO.
And the World Trade Organization got together and created all this since 1963. So he's saying it's not enforceable. And
you've been dealing with the fact it was enforced.
No, it wasn't enforced. It was some countries voluntarily
anticipated
the structure and strictures based on what they thought was going to happen in the future.
And the World Health, WHO, whatever it is, didn't do anything yet.
No. So, you know, I think he's right that it's not going to be enforceable, but
it was enforceable by those that anticipated what would be enforced.
Right, they've already succumbed. And they, you know,
we shouldn't get that. Karen, that's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. Bob, we're going to do this again. We're going to take it line by line. Exactly what the hell are you talking about? You
You run around the mountain, you don't never say nothing, you say a bunch of words, you don't even know what you're talking about. So we're not moving one step forward until you go line by line. Go ahead, get a pause. Now see, they may
sound like
not enforceable, it's enforced, it can't be enforced, it isn't. So it's unenforceable. Okay, now explain it.
They actually liked the fact that there was some big enforcement coming, and they used it as a way of enforcing their own enforcement.
Yeah. Well, but they didn't enforce it. They made it a success.
No, no, Canada and Australia created these rules that decimated the whole supplement industry, and only about a quarter of the original companies exist. So they created a lot of enforcement.
What happened in England, which where I first heard about it, like 4 or 5 years ago, you're telling me 3,000 household stores went out of business.
Right. In England, because they restricted supplements, then supplements were no longer on the shelves, and companies and stores went out of business.
Do you understand, Ion, now? Has it been clarified for you?
No.
Okay, we can move on.
No.
No. Well, it's 1 o'clock
every
time.
Hey,
there are people listening. Start the topic, and you can't get anywhere.
Well, I'm not intending to finish it. It can't be finished, so I don't mind moving on. We'll just come back.
Oh, okay.
We'll come back. It would be, where is the headline of the European?
Hey, watch it. Somebody's making noise.
Not me. Here's what's going to happen. He's the one of the guys presenting the meme that the codex is going to wipe people out, right?
The audio's gone a bit quiet.
And he says Eurozone's collapse.
Hey, can you stop, Sheila, Allison?
Yo, can you hear it?
Yeah, stop.
Well, what did JWL
okay. What?
Okay. What is this background noise that's happening?
I'm not sure.
Is it another world leaking in, or was Sheila doing something and not on mute? Were you on mute? Was Carolyn listening in?
Sheila?
I don't know. It wasn't me, because I was on mute when I was making noise, and then I'm not making noise now.
And you weren't making any noise, and your bride there wasn't doing anything, Allison.
My bride?
Yeah, why not?
Sure.
Don't worry. Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. I think so.
You weren't doing anything.
No.
All right. So this we've had this phenomenon in the new rewrite, parallel worlds, and in private sessions leak in, and you'll hear noises like one of the clients. When they reheard the reading, the session, and reheard the noises that happened, the annoying noises that happened when they were having the session, they realized it was the noises of themselves in the kitchen. So they asked Ion, what's that about? And they said, oh, that's your other self in another world listening into the session, and you were hearing yourself sound like yourself in another world. I'm just wondering if that's what's going on now. We get this more often. This weird, you know, interrupting noises from another home or environment, and it's other worlds listening.
It's so complicated, I'm not sure.
Anyways, I just, okay, we made good, we're almost coming to the end of the first hour now, right? We did a good chunk there.
Yeah, there's a little bit too much left than I want to be left, so do you want to cut it off now?
What do you mean, you got to stop? Now? Are you saying you got to stop?
well, it's we've got 4 minutes. Let me go back.
Yeah, we're gonna go back a minute because we drowned it. We fucked up. Okay, how many? We only got 5 minutes left, right?
Five? I don't think so. The little I can't tell what it is, but it looks a lot more than five.
Okay, you don't have the. When I go to Achieve Radio, it gives me the time. I can see things. You must on your computer see a different panel or something.
Well, I see 4:43.
4443.
What's that mean?
That's, I don't know what the end result is.
You mean it's on 44 minutes?
Yep. Well, no, that's what's already been done, so.
Right.
Yeah,
so
44 minutes. It's only going to go 54, 55 minutes. You only got 10 minutes left.
Okay, well, let's do it.
Right, but any comments on this talk about the, okay, I'm there talking, arguing with Carolyn and Ion, and we're talking over each other. As a listener, do you find it irritating, or you find it funny, or what did you get over this whole Codex talk? Or what enjoyment did you get?
I'm cool with it. How about you, Sheila?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get irritated. Interesting.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to say, I noticed how fast I am. Ian goes out. Oh, yeah, you saw it. You know, I'm really fast in policing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else could be as fast as me. I get irritated real fast, right?
Uh-huh.
And then Ion's real fast at responding to me. You know what I mean? He's got his argument. He almost knows what I'm complaining about, and he gets an argument right away, makes a joke on it. And Carol's pretty fast, so I'm wondering how it's hard to follow what
no,
we're
not
doing.
For me. No.
You can keep up with it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you can keep up with it, I would find it entertaining. It's entertaining to me the way we over-talk and what we're arguing about. And it's like a tempest in a teapot, for fuck's sake. I mean, we just get all involved in what we're saying.
I think it's a good format for some futuristic stuff. I really do. I think it's a good thing.
Futuristic stuff? What's that mean? What are you referring to?
I mean, this is a good format for what we could do to assess the whole, you know, the way we're looking at cash flow.
Okay, what is the format? I don't know what you mean by when you're referring, this is a good format.
The format is we're looking at it and listening to it and then assessing it.
Oh yeah, what we're doing. I thought you were talking about the content of the show. What we're doing is a good format for doing what?
Yeah, I think it's a really cool format for assessing what happens during cash flow.
Right, yeah. You guys, for many Gaga editions, analyze thoughts that you heard Ion said. Now, this is better because we're reacting to what we're hearing, and it brings in more complicated meta levels here as we...
Yeah,
it's good. It's good. I like doing this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should do a bash of it sometime, though, like Mystery Theater 3000.
Well, that means you'd have to. How could you do that? You'd have to.
I don't
you
know.
Guys could do that during a cash flow a lot when it's first broadcast.
Maybe we should do some really radical.
and just be in the background heckling.
Yeah, but
no,
we would.
I was going to say is let's do some Tesla, you know. Completely bizarre. We talked over your sentence, and you heard it before now. Stuff.
No, I don't get that. I see that you and Sheila and maybe someone else get together in a conference call, and the show starts. And you don't care that whoever hears the recording gets what you're saying. You guys just start joking about what's going on or making comments. Then later, that would be entertainment for me. I'd get to hear how you interpreted what was going on. It'd be entertainment for me.
Okay.
Your commentary would be entertainment for me. It wouldn't be, I don't know, if it might be for other people, but in other words, I would do the show. I know, at least when I reheard it, I know what the show was. Then I'd listen to your commentary, and I wouldn't care about hearing the show because I already kind of know it. But I'd be interested in what you guys say, and I'd get entertainment over what you were saying about it.
But I'd want to do it from the perspective of, you know, Mystery Theater 3000.
That's what I'm saying. That's the format.
Yeah, make ridiculous fun of everything. And
Yeah. I'd like to hear that.
That would be fun.
But you guys would do it, not me. You and whoever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you couldn't do it because you're in the content.
Right. So maybe you wouldn't. Would it work if you redid the show? Because you can respond to the first time you're hearing it, Sheila, and whoever's doing it with you, you respond.
Mm-hmm.
Could you then do it again? Would you miss the spontaneous first intuitive responses?
I think the first one, I think hearing it the first time would be the funniest.
Right, so you guys got to organize. okay, the show's coming up next Wednesday. We got to get into the conference call and get ready for it. And then it starts, and then you start reacting, record it, and not worry that you're not getting it all. Later, you go back and hear what you missed because you were too joking about it. You know what I mean? You go back and re-listen to it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you guys could do that.
Yeah. Or at least maybe just an hour of it or something. You know, coordinate the whole time.
Yeah, get Allison to look at an edition of Mystery Theater so she gets what you mean, and then do it.
It's hysterical.
You are so funny.
Who's funny? Who's funny? Me or Sheila in that moment?
Well, you are.
Bob is. Okay, good.
You know, think of Mystery Theater so I can find out what's up.
Well,
anyway,
you have to.
Whatever.
You have to. You may understand it, but I don't know if you understand it. You just have to. It's probably on YouTube. You probably can watch one. You'll see what Sheila's referring to.
Yeah.
Okay,
good.
So there's nothing to comment. We're talking about the codex, and it's interesting. What is interesting about that? Ion's saying, he's not saying much. It's more me trying to understand Carolyn and what she's concerned about. What is Ion saying about? Oh, he's saying that, yeah, he's saying it's not even enforced yet. And then I'm saying, no, I heard about it being enforced or effects have already happened. And I'm learning from Carolyn that these countries did it. Before it became law, they thought, well, let's look good for the WHO and do it now before it happened. And they did it, and now it's a totally different situation where they're collapsed. And so these health food stores went out of business 3 years ago because they got caught up in that moment, and here it is 3 or 4 years later, and it doesn't even apply anymore because WHO never got to enforce the rules. But these fucking countries beforehand trying to suck up to WHO started doing it and preparing ahead of time doing it.
Yeah.
Chaos.
Yeah.
It shows the chaos of this time.
I know. How's it going to end, Bob?
You mean in general for all of us?
Yeah.
It won't end for the 1%ers. They'll just carry on having a good time. But we're not even involved in the 21st century. We're not involved in these issues.
I don't feel like it. I agree. So,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. You've arrived. You're happy. You're moving forward. Getting better orgasms from the RNA drops. You found the secret of life on all levels, for entertainment and for indigestion and for everything. So well, welcome to Dobstown. Welcome to my world.
Sheila and I are going to come to Maui and hang out together.
Yeah, when are you doing that?
I'm not sure. When do you want to go, Sheila?
I don't know. I haven't put attention on that.
Okay, we're
going
to work on the timing.
Okay. So let's go back to the show then. Then Sheila can go to bed. What time is it for you now, Sheila?
It's almost 1 o'clock.
Okay, that's all right, isn't it? That's manageable.
It's manageable, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I closed my computer. Do you want me to go online again?
Yeah, you thought it was over?
Yeah.
Okay, just bring it back up and let's do the last bit because we still got a few minutes left, and you watch it probably veers off into some other weird thing.
Let me see what I have. Hold on. I thought we were done.
Why would you think we're done? I want to finish the hour.
Because we just talked about that was enough. So.
Oh, no, I didn't say it was enough. You thought that was said. I don't know where you got that notion. No, it wasn't enough. No, I was saying stop. Let's assess what we've heard. That's what I was saying.
Okay, so let's go back to Achieve Radio. Hopefully.
When I was saying stop, Sheila said, I've had enough. Fuck, got it. Stop the show. No, I just thought that let's have some commentary.
I know. I want to go to sleep, Bob. I'm so tired.
Well, you're not tired. That's an illusion.
I know.
Over and get some RNA drops. Put some RNA drops in your tongue.
I want to close my eyes and go rest. Hold on.
Well, we're almost finished. Don't worry. You'll get worked up. You'll forget that you're tired. we'll give you one more orgasm. One more. Okay, one more. What was that?
I don't know. let's get Allison worked up.
Yeah, let's get her one more time.
No, you guys, I'm so bummed because it's not the computer I know.
Oh, you're grinding at the computer. Okay. Hey, she.
Well,
oh,
it's
no,
not the one I know how to operate. I work in a.
Hey,
Mac
just
and...
bring it on. What? I mean, you had it on. Turn it back on. What's the problem?
Oh, listen to you talking, telling somebody what's the problem. Get it together with a computer.
Look, all I know, she got the computer on, and she turned it off, turned it back on, and we go back to Achieve Radio and listen to the archive. We start, can pick up where we left off. What's the issue?
The issue is it's a different computer and doesn't respond the same.
Why are you going to another computer?
No, I'm not. I'm going to the computer that I had to go to that was another computer because I couldn't make my Mac work because it was being ionized.
Can't you go to the computer we were already using?
Yeah, but it's a PC, it's not a Mac, so it's a different operating system. So
what's that got to do with it? We were listening to a computer.
It
worked.
To do with it.
She turned it off, turned it back on. The one we were listening to was doing fine. Why can't you redo the computer we were doing? You're not explaining why you have a problem with that one.
Thank you, Sheila. I appreciate you being my friend.
Oh, my God.
It's
nothing to do with friendship.
How many times do you not even know what button to push, Bob, and you're giving Alice?
I know how to do my computers. Don't believe Ion's fucking hype about me. I mean, there's nothing it says about me is accurate. Look, I know how to work computers. You're not explaining why you can't just start on the computer we were using.
I'm going to throw up on you right now.
I don't even know. What is the problem here? Okay, Sheila, explain to me. Why isn't she going on to the computer we were using?
She
Sheila
is,
does
but
not
it's
have
a different.
To explain to you.
It's...
Sheila does not have to explain to you.
Well, if it takes the attention of you so you can actually turn on the computer and not have to answer to Bob, it might be worth it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just you and I will
talk.
Let's you and I schmooze, Sheila. So, you know, that Allison, like, she has a computer going and it goes off. She can't get it, but I. Well, what's that about? What's that about, Sheila?
Bob, you are an ass. Right now.
Wait, what the hell? Look at this. She's going back. This is Allison dreaming. She's gone to sleep. I don't know. This is testosterone. This is Allison, March 24th, 2010, late at night. She's drunk and she should be in bed.
No. I'm not. I promise you.
Okay. Are you saying you can't? Shall I go get my computer up?
No. Stop it.
This is fun.
See, we've warped into this part. This is the exciting part. We're arguing among ourselves. We've turned into cash flow.
So I can say, shut up, Bob.
That's right. James is laughing in the background. It's funny how you
go on the
let me say this, Allison. What's fun is hearing James, as we're listening to the show, like James is like watching us as Mystery Theater. You hear this soundtrack of James every now and then cracking up, and you don't know. Like, you assume he's laughing at what's going on, but he could be laughing at other things. Like, James is on this other level, just sort of going raucously laughing at the show. He's on the outside. He's the audience watching.
Okay, so we're still recording, but where did we fall off on the recording? Because I can't.
About 44 minutes.
Yeah,
40. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sheila.
Beautiful, Sheila. Beautiful.
Ah, she's good. Hold on. Hold on. We have 43:04, 43:05. Hold on. I love listening to
this. This has turned. Wait a minute. This has turned into Mystery Theater 3000.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Well, I got 46. Let's go on 44. Hold on. 44:04. I'm sorry. We're gonna have to splice in. Listen to this.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
Out of business.
Right. In England, because they restricted supplements, then supplements were no longer on the shelves, and companies and stores went out of business.
Do you understand, Ion, now? Has it been clarified for you?
No.
Okay, we can move on. Now, where...
Oh, no. Well, it's one
topic.
And you can't get anywhere.
Well, I haven't been taking... Can't be finished, so I don't mind moving on. We'll just come back.
Oh, okay.
We'll come back to it. The, where's the headline of the European zone collapse, Carol?
I got it this morning on Mike Adams' Natural News.
Oh, that's an extremist. That guy panics about everything that appears is going to happen. He's one of the guys presenting the meme that the Kodak is going to wipe people out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mike Adams, he's a panic man.
Mm-hmm.
And he says the Eurozone's collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
Based on what?
But they're not.
I think it's based on truisms.
What did J.W.
outcome?
Well, what did J.W.
say?
They
owes more.
Allison, go on mute if you're going to talk to David.
Then we can't hear.
Okay. Fireworks spill over into the U.S. and other nations thanks to the fact that so many nations are intertwined with highly leveraged debt.
Well, I'm going back to reading nice emails. I mean, but that's not going to affect us. Why are we calling it? It's nothing to do with us. They're not going to affect us.
Right.
Right. Okay. So let's see what nice statements are being made. Somebody from Tinytown says, oops, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, well, sometimes you guys are lots of fun.
Sometimes.
Well, that's because you guys bring up news. Bum everybody out with this negative talk. I think we should just read positive emails for 3 hours. Oh, look, somebody called in. Renee, okay, let's talk to somebody on the phone.
Tide of aircraft noise. Hi, Renee, are you there?
Hey, Renee. Are you there, Renee?
Renee can't connect.
Uh-oh.
Renee can't connect.
Noise is coming from Jane.
Your soul is stained, Renee. You are stained. Connect with Bob and Connie. It's our sync. I guess you got to readjust your frequency, work on your polarity and and check out the vectors. What else you got to do? Relax and allow. Declare you ain't going to the top.
That part's done. You ain't relaxed.
Okay, so Cider Somerset says, hi, all. While Bob is confused, I'll sneak this question in. This question is something, nuke something in the near future. I'm not naming those places, you know. Like, so he's worrying about a nuke thing. Come on. Why don't you ask a good news thing?
No, that is good news, and yes, it will.
And that's where we meet the radiation.
Oh, James said something. He blurred out something.
James went,
He just said, the decider said, declared.
What is that news? What is that noise, Bob? What is that horn or whatever that is? Okay, what's going on is it's almost been that way all along, but you're shifting and changing, and they're starting to notice. And the digitized body notices it, obviously, first. The eyes can't see it, but those cameras give digital views that capture it. So it just becomes a validation in the chip body for what we've sort of been saying all along. As the atmosphere changes, it will spin and change your relevant covalence with everything.
Covalence?
For example, someone says it's a nice day. Well, you in your mind picture what a nice day is. Well, if they're from Alaska and the sun's shining, that may be the essence of a nice day, but not maybe so nice for you, okay? Or if you're up there in Oregon and you say, oh, it's a nice day, it could be pouring down rain because it rains almost every day anyway. It's a nice rainy day, but they don't say that, you see. So it has to do with a bit of perspective. Perspective now that you're picking up that's getting broader or wider as an anomaly or sometimes an algorithm if you really look at it, the construct correctly. The anomaly is just you noticing that part that he is. That's
okay,
also another way to go at it.
Well, to me that's like kind of a lot of, I don't understand that.
Squeeze it. Ask him to restate it. Squeeze it, baby. No. If she didn't understand the first time and we restated it, she wouldn't explain the second time. Okay, darling, good. Ask questions regarding it and we'll help.
So the black spot is?
The concentration of the change of the pH of hydrogen in through the atmosphere that you are seeing.
Hmm. Okay, and then why did, I don't need to use why, it changed to blue. And the reason for that is?
The change of the atmosphere when radioisotopes are balanced or sustained as stable, it shifts the vector effect of light waves, which was where you would get color from.
So is the dot in front of the sun or behind the sun?
We would say, depending on the perspective, yes, to both.
Mm. Okay. And there was stuff that came up when looking at the dot in front of the sun. The sun became a diamond.
Yeah.
And the reason
that's carbon, and the reason it did that is because of the carbon, the C-122, that becomes.
Okay, so then we've got that visual going on. So then you go back and you get the larger vision and you see more of a halo around it all. Is that a gate?
It can be a gate, but it's representative of the rings and arms of chromosome 14.
Out there on the sun.
Yep. They talk about the sun shall set you free. They thought this talking about God's son, Jesus, one of them.
So the arms,
and then they put him on a cross, which is representative of the arms and the rings.
So the arms and rings of a chromosome are attached to the sun.
So the sun is a representation of that source shifting.
The arms and the rings are the source shifting?
Sun would be considered the source.
The arms and rings got to do with this.
The change of the shifting power.
Get that, Carol? Can you explain? Translate?
No.
Can you, Renee, translate?
No.
Absolutely. What's up with that?
Hey, Elsa.
Whatever, and it's, what the fuck?
Yeah, 5 minutes ago, I was laughing, she was laughing. This is what happens when I re-listen to the show. I get put into the audience position. I find this stuff really funny. I don't find it funny when I'm doing it, right? I'm involved with it, but I find it very entertaining to re-listen to the show. I get, like, you're hearing me laugh, right, Sheila, as it's happening?
Mm-hmm.
I get fucking laughing my head off when I re-listen to the show, which I imagine you guys are laughing. I get to have that enjoyment when I re-listened to it. So
yeah.
this was happened a few minutes ago. And now I'm laughing at Allison not knowing what the hell we're talking about. when Allison heard covalency, that's a normal term on rewrite.
Yeah.
Okay, Allison doesn't know about covalency. She goes, what? Covalency? What the hell? Where'd that come from? Because Allison's listening closely. She wants to get every word, and she'll notice a word that doesn't write. She never heard that word. She goes, what? And so that makes me laugh because it's like Allison in that moment is a kindergartner hearing grade 10s talk. You know what I mean? And she goes, what? They just mentioned penises. Where the fuck are they? You know? It's something like that for the kindergarten, right? So that's funny. It's also very funny, you know, this whole thing. It's a new kind of humor we're creating here. It's like in class. You know, when you were in class, you had to snicker. You weren't allowed to laugh out loud. In this class, we can laugh out loud with the teacher.
True.
How about you?
What else? What'd you say, Sheila?
It was Allison.
Are you laughing, Sheila?
I am laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting listening. Sheila was laughing a bit, or somebody was, at the way Renee was reading out her own email, which I hadn't noticed, but then when she was reading, I was looking at it. She had sent it. And she was reading it very, you know, carefully in that, and somehow that made Sheila laugh. So then I laughed, and then Sheila laughed. But now we're at the point, the content. You're finding it hard to follow what they're talking about, Allison?
No, I mean, I'm laughing now because Sheila and I know that Renea is, you know, what they thought about, and I really appreciate Renee's responses these days because they're unique.
Yeah. Yeah, she's been tracking every show, doing her work. She's part of the rewrite, you know. She's off there on her own out there in Seattle trying to figure out what's going on. And she's co-creating. She's involved.
Sheila and I, we had a response to her and a relationship with her, and it didn't pan out.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
You're telling Renee now you appreciate what she does when she shows up.
Absolutely. She's way dialed into whatever's going on. So,
yeah, whatever's going on. Dialed into whatever's going on. Can't determine what's going on, can we, Allison?
Yes, I know. She's great.
Yeah, one thing about Ion, he's very generous. He is literal. Whatever you say, he'll respond. He's not like a normal
Renee
professor.
Is Renee in rewrite?
Yeah, she joined the second rewrite group.
Thanks.
And when you get in the rewrite group. What?
I said she was in that.
She's in the present rewrite group, not the first one, not the one she was in.
Yeah, not the one I was in. So
yeah, she's in the latest one. And I tell you, Allison, when you're in the rewrite group, you get 4 and 5, 6 hours of Ion. It's a whole amazing experience.
I bet.
Yeah, and you actually get, you know, you get an aura of insiderness when you participate in the rewrite groups. Right, Sheila?
Yeah.
It makes you smarter. You get smarter in the rewrite somehow in relation to Ion.
Well, I kind of sensed that. And then when I did the Genesis thing, it was the same thing.
You're getting close to it. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, if you had only known this, you would know more about this.
But, you know, go ahead.
I said I was still recording. Do you want
to? Yeah, we're still recording. We're almost finished. I mean, this Renee comes back and she stays in for the whole second hour, but we're finishing up the first hour here.
Do you want to? Play it?
Yeah, because I get irritated. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. I say, are you connecting the rings and the little DNA chromosomes are up on the sun? I start hallucinating on what they're talking about.
Yeah. And I have heard rumors, just Bob, about, I think it's Genesis 2 that you kind of go off on a rant.
Well, Brian says, I heard the other day that Brian says that I lose it in Genesis 2, and Ginny says, no, I don't. And they have an argument over it. But the story for Genesis 3 is that, Karen says, I really lose it in Genesis 3.
So Brian and Ginny are your, like, alter egos? What's up?
No. Brian hears Genesis 2, and he says, Bob loses it. Ginny says, no, Bob didn't lose it. And I don't know what the details are. I just got that headline. They disagree over whether I lose it in Genesis 2. But Carolyn said today that Bob really loses it in Genesis 3.
Oh, I can't wait.
and I talk about it. I don't know if that's on the recording. I said, you know, we're just the new George Burns and who are they, Burns and Allen? We're the new Burns and Allen. People just want to see what happens between Burns and
Allen. Gracie
Allen. Yeah. George Burns and Gracie Allen. I said, Karen, I said this. I don't know if it's on the recording after Genesis 3 or at the end of it or during it. I say, Karen, we're just ending up to, we're doing the Bible, but the real thing is people are into what happens to us and how we freak out or something or whether Bob loses it. There's a whole other drama that becomes entertaining as we're analyzing the Bible. I say that last night. And so I hear statements like Allison saying, I can't wait to hear this where Bob loses it. You know, what's the perversity here? Why is there so much excitement about Bob losing it?
Oh, my God.
It's
Sheila, take over.
Take over. Allison doesn't know what to say.
I don't want to touch this. Sheila, take over.
No, that's intriguing. You know, there's something hidden there. Some covalent bond going on.
Wait a minute. It's just an entertaining factor. Just an entertaining factor. You losing it. You know?
Yeah, no, it actually is. It's like school without any rule, with the fun part of it being allowed to be expressed. Like in school, you couldn't speak. You weren't allowed to snicker or laugh. You know, you'd be teacher would want an atmosphere of constant seriousness. In our school, you can digress into absurdity, and then get back on course again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect school.
No rules.
Yes, no rules.
Yeah.
Like, most cash flows, one of the hidden grounds is, shit, we got to do another one? What the fuck are we doing this for? Oh, okay, let's meet and do it anyways. Okay. It's like, you know, Plato's Academy, Plato never showed you that the argument before they started the next book of Plato, you know, whatever Socrates was arguing against or... They said, Socrates, I don't want to do another book. I'm not going to talk to that fucking idiot. No way. You know, that's never been in the Plato's Republic or, you know, in the Plato dialogues. They don't have the laughing going on behind the scenes. Electric media allows you to hear what goes on behind the scenes.
And what I might say is that went on behind the scenes, but the electromedia wasn't in place. So it didn't happen behind the scenes in the electromedia. You just had Plato laughing hysterically, you know.
Yeah,
in
there's no behind the scenes.
And that's like Brian. I laugh and think Sheila with Brian going, excuse me, you know, it's before the recorded history of whatever we're doing at this moment. And he's like, fuck, you know, this is not what I want to say or what I want to, you know, portray or whatever.
I'm not sure what you're saying. Are you referring to yourself or Brian?
Brian.
You know that Brian...
I don't know Brian well enough to do this, but I did meet him on the first, the crazy cash flow, what was that, the after party that was...
Tailgate, March 24th, 2010, where you testosterone...
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I was saying is that it's so interesting that you could create something now that is not so acerbic or acerbic.
Ascorbic, vitamin C, or acerbic.
Or the cervix.
Or cervix, yeah. Right now.
You know, he has a lot of stuff to offer. So. Anyway,
you know, this is, hey, Sheila, it sounds like March 24th. Sheila, Allison, to me, is starting to wander. She's getting so tired.
Yeah,
she's like,
she
starting to talk.
Yeah.
Are you drinking, Allison,
she's
right
tired.
Now?
Yeah.
We're back to minus 24.
Yes.
Wow. Because, yes. You know, if you listen, you know, on we don't have it posted right now on How Ionic, the addenda where there's these Ionic topics. We had a special place before we redesigned the site where you could hear Ion on March 24th lay out for the first time the emptying of the gods.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like an 11-minute egg segment. I got to get that back on the news site. Anyways,
so
it begins
with
this,
Unrealized Creations, go to the Goth.
What'd you say?
I said, where all your unrealized creations go to the Goth.
I think so. What I want to say is that recording,
yeah.
The 10-minute excerpt, where I am profoundly lays out for the first time the idea of emptying the Goth, when none of us knew it before that. And it's the night that you get drunker and drunker. It's your first night on there. The first word you hear when I play the 11-minute thing is you with your croaky Teston voice going, Brian? Brian? You remember that, Sheila?
Cool, Brian.
Yeah, I do remember it. I do.
And,
I remember. I was in Paris.
Yeah,
I'm
and
like,
Ion
oh,
comes in, and he says, he basically says, shut up, Allison. And Ion wants to address and tell Brian something. And he tells Allison to back off. And then Ion takes over, and then he takes 10 minutes and explains the incredible scenario.
Well, he also says some really cool sentence like, if you could get over your testosterone-driven yada, who you are, you might need that off. That kind of thing. So,
well,
like,
Allison. Yeah, when I hear that you're sort of drinking a little now, you actually started to get testosterone about 10 minutes ago. And he said, Bob, shut up. You start getting into that aggressive fucking defense of something.
Exactly. I'm like, can I go to sleep now, please?
Yeah. We're almost finished, so let's just play the rest of it and finish. We'll finish in another 2 minutes.
Well, let me go on speaker again, and I'll do that.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Here you go, Ion, creating confusion, you evil monster.
Well, I'll have to re-listen to it. But then I saw another video, and this gentleman put his tripod up in his camera, high def, and the sun was doing the same thing. However, when you looked at it, you saw, like, a owl. So then all the conspiracy theory people out there, you know, the Illuminati have the owl. I actually saw this owl coming out from the sun. Is that what they're referring to when they have the icon of owl?
Well, but the owl actually wasn't so Illuminati. It was much more in the Knights Templars.
Okay, but is that what they saw, illuminating from the sky, the vision
Yes.
Okay.
And that's why in the Templar, temples, okay, their clocks run backwards.
Backwards.
Turn it down a bit, Allison. Renny's loud.
Learning, Bob. This isn't. Have carrier noise. See the juxtaposition. So I am juxtaposed chromosome 14 with the sun. Is anybody interested in making some kind of connection or context for that juxtaposition?
What?
We just answered her question. That's all she asked. And the ring and the arms. And
because chromosome 14 has a ring and an arm, so if it's that anything that comes up that has a ring and the arm will remind you.
I have chromosome 14. It's a clue of how. What is I? Is I a non-physical?
Jesus, Bob.
That's hilarious.
Jesus.
Go ahead, express yourself.
Sheila,
go ahead.
Sheila, you go ahead.
It's like Allison, she's seeing stuff perceptively while being drunk, and yet she can't say the word, so she hopes Sheila can say it.
I'm not so drunk, but I'm looking at it going, I have to listen again because what I hear is so outrageous.
Okay, can you articulate what is outrageous?
Sure.
What is outrageous? Try to say what it is. There's so many things going on. What do you think is outrageous?
Well, what's outrageous? I mean, I'm not sure I can express.
Is it outrageous that I went? Is it outrageous that I go, hey, Carolyn, is Ion non-physical? Is that outrageous?
Yes.
It is, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, if you want me to relegate it to that, I could do that quickly. Yes.
Yeah, do that,
there are about 10 other sentences that, override that. But, yes, you're right. Is Ion non-physical outrageous on our scope of things?
Yeah, it is.
What do you mean?
I'm doing Ion. I'm operating real fast. And it's like Bob's coming in from another level. Like you're in one, there's a flatland level coming. Bob's coming in. Hey, how's this going? Everybody got their position? The sound man's got his mic on? Yeah, okay. Is Ion non-physical? We know that Ion's supposed to be non-physical, but I'm talking from the producer's point of view. And I'm saying, hey, you got the lighting on the knob. Make Ion look like that. What the hell are you doing, cameraman? You're making Ion look physical. Don't you know? Don't you understand Ion's non-physical? Now make the lighting make him. You know what I mean? It's like a total other level. That's how I hear what I'm doing because I'm aware of my thinking about why I'm saying what I'm saying, which nobody would know why I'm saying. That's why it sounds outrageous, I have my reasons for saying that.
It's a stage.
Yeah. I'm aware of the staginess.
You're entering the stage.
Yeah.
And we have no clue as to how deeply you're entering that stage.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Because I'm at a position of thousands of hours of exposure of Ion. Many of these arguments that you guys are hearing the first time, I've had 10 times with Ion, And I'm actually getting a new idea about the argument. I've tetrad it myself, flipped so many times that it's appropriate to go, hey, Carol, is that you'll be saying that the 10th time you've been through that argument.
It's kind of H129 or H1, what is it, H197? You feel like you're like on fire.
Yeah.
For whatever you're presenting, because it's
my mind's on fire.
Your whatever's on fire, and it's being insatiated by radiation.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing, because
yeah.
We know it's a good thing. Thanks,
yeah.
Ion. So.
And when I stand back and listen to it, I think of the neophyte. It's just like, it's so crazy. There is order in why I'm saying what I'm saying, and Carol knows
enough
to know why I'm saying it. Ion knows. James doesn't really know, because he's not involved that much, or he hasn't enough. But when the listener is hearing it, we are sounding absolutely insane. Because they've said 10 arguments back.
I think James knows exactly what's going on. I love the fact that he is like, he does kind of know.
Well, his instinct.
He embodies it.
Yeah, his laughter is, he doesn't know it conceptually. You asked James to say what went on. He hadn't got any words. He doesn't know. But he feels it somehow because he has been at every show. So on some level, his being is up to date and laughing and responding. He gets the jokes.
Yeah.
He gets the subtleties that are going on.
And Sheila and I, I'm going to speak for you, Sheila, and you can chime in.
Okay.
We think James' laugh is like an orgasm, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't use the word orgasm, but yeah, we actually talked about that yesterday.
What would you use?
Well, it was just, it was like this, it kind of...
infectious.
Well, it adds so much to the show, when he's not there, because it's like
mm-hmm.
your own, it's like a private laugh track or something.
Yeah, it's the audience. He's the audience. You people out there who understand what we're doing and getting it, knowing this is the greatest show and laughing their heads off, James is that person out there who's getting it And his laugh, he's getting it. He gets any little subtle thing I do, he gets and laughs. I mean, I appreciate when I start changing my tone in relation to Ian, he gets it. He starts laughing. He says, oh, look at what Bob's doing. Look at all that neat what Bob's doing. You know, he's getting that, right?
I know. Yeah. And I've sent a few emails to him. I send one a week now because it just comes up that I'm so enamored with cash flow. I send an email to him, and he is so great. He sends back just the same enthusiasm that we get for what we're doing or what is being done.
Yeah.
And but I mean Ian is so pro James. I love it. Loves it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, oh my God, this is where we give James some oxygen.
Yeah.
make it clear that he can get through this moment or whatever it is. But
yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah, it's like it's genuine laugh track. You don't have a genuine laugh track.
Yeah,
he's genuine laugh track.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A comprehending laugh track. At least he knows me. He gets my tones for some reason, you know. I mean, James has been around a lot of sophisticated, cynical assholes in Hollywood, right? So he's used to all levels of humor and that. He's worldly, right? And he can hear my worldly tones coming in there, and he responds. And
But he seems to respond to your, you know, your Walter Boa, your, you know, McLuhan.
Yeah,
stuff.
He know.
He knows.
Because James and I have discussed and criticized, and you can look at it on YouTube or wherever it is. Me and James analyzing Walter after he died a few days later, and we're just ripping Walter apart. You know, we have a very under. It's like when I met Ben Watson, the guy who did one of the greatest biographies of Zappa. We had a good night when we first met, and then he realized I knew and I was on his wavelength. He says, you know, late at night, he says, you know, I hate Zappa. I go, yeah, I agree. We hate Zappa. You know, that's
Zappa,
the in, yeah. The biographer said, you know, as we're going home, and he feels okay. I can tell Bob what I really think. He says, you know, I hate Zappa. I say, I agree. I agree. Me too. I've always hated Zappa. So that kind of inside, whatever it is, the intimacy. That's what James and I have, especially in regard to Walter, and because James and I have had the cash flow dialogues before Ian showed up since 2002, since we met on the phone. So there's a familiarity between James and I, and that's why James finds it interesting watching how I respond to Ian.
Oh, okay.
It's almost like he's saying, Bob's expressing how I would respond, meaning James. He says, "Yeah, Bob's responding like I would." Right that moment, yeah, that seems odd that Ian said that. I'd go, "Sure, you're serious, Ian?" I say that. James would say that if he could, but he's not fast enough in the repartee to do it. I'm very fast. I can respond right away. You know what I mean?
Well, he's trying to placate, I think, who he's interviewing in a way, or, you know, placate's the wrong word. He's trying to be courteous.
I don't know. He may be at the first, but James doesn't give a damn. He just looks forward to the show and knows it's going to be fun. He's into it for himself now.
He may be manipulating it. Actually, it's manipulation in a way.
Maybe his personal God level of thinking of what he thinks he's doing, that may be going on, but I don't worry about that because he's doing okay as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I appreciate his laughing. And occasionally, like today, in hour two or three, we get into an intense conversation. James fucking gets drawn in. He wants to know about this issue. And then so James actually talks for a long time for the first time in ever.
Wow.
Right, Sheila?
I was thinking of Ben.
Yeah, he's very involved.
Thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It hits at what he really wants to know. He really wants to know how to organize his energy and his health and all that. And we get into a really great topic in hour two.
Cool.
So I don't know when we'll do the next part. I mean, tomorrow, I don't know if I got time to do it again. That takes a long time, right? What we just did.
Yes, it does.
But I think it was good.
No, it was. I like what we got on tape. What we got on recording is really good.
You're going to have to edit big time.
No editing. I'm not going to put it on Cashflow.
No editing?
No, it's just going to be set. It's just going to be offered on dupes, and people can listen to it all. They'll love it. What's it to edit? There's nothing to edit.
Oh, as long as it's on dupes, not on Cashflow.
Right, right. We're not putting on cash. It's too long.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you put on cash flow, you've got to limit it. Please, please.
Yeah, no, no. It's too long. But it's important. It's
okay.
A new level of gagas. It's for dupes. Like, you know, who's got the time? They can take the 2 or 3 hours as a bid, and they'll love it.
What I like is it's your input with our input.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate what we're doing.
I think it's different. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
Yeah.
How about you, Sheila?
Yeah, no, it was good.
Yeah, this is very good. You know, we learned a lot, and you can't say what you learned, just it was a new way to do this.
Mm-hmm. Sheila's my goddess. She's
Yeah, you want to bear.
She.
You want to bear her children, don't you? You want to bear her children.
I do. I want to bear her children. Without Brian's sperm. Okay. Are we recording now?
Oh, man.
Shit.
Oh, man.
Did you say Vance? Without Vance's sperm? Is that what you just said?
No.
What did you say? Without somebody's
sperm? I said without Brian's sperm. And she said,
without,
oh, man.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. That's deep. We can't call me on that.
Okay, it's on record now, Sheila. It's on record now. Whatever.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get together now.
I think we should do this earlier in the day in future.
Yeah, we'll try to do it early in the day, but that would have to be a weekend when Allison's not working.
Mm. Well, yeah, actually. But I would have said the same thing, Sheila. Sorry.
You would have said the same
thing.
You would have said
okay.
What same
she
old
was trying
thing?
To, well, she was trying to relate it to drunkenness, but I would say the same old thing.
No, I think she was just talking about herself.
Okay.
Oh, no. No, maybe she's talking about you. No, she's talking about you. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think she's talking about me. But I mean, quick and colloquial about you, so. Anyway.
See, what's really interesting, maybe this is a wrap-up statement, is that you got this incredible phenomenal ion, which makes us think about things differently, and then we can record ourselves. Then we can record ourselves talking about the recordings we made about ourselves. You see how meta, many level this can become?
Totally. And I have to, Sheila, you're going to say something too, I'm sure, but I have to say to you, Bob, this is the levels, I mean, the depth of the levels that we're going into here are just insane.
Yeah. You can't even
it's
summarize
so cool.
them. Yeah.
Mm.
No,
so
I agree.
Cool.
It's a new form of communication.
How new?
Well, first of all, it's new because you got ION and humanity never had non-physical engaging themselves live like this. So that's new. Our reactions to that have to be new, and then we're, so it's all new. It evokes ways of interacting that never happened before. And what's great is being recorded so other people can hear it. And then the fun of it is they don't know what the hell's going on, you know. But those that are part of it have been with it. They can enjoy it. That's why it's only for dupes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Sheila?
I concur.
Yeah. Like, someone listens to ION. They get interested. They have a session. Then I tell them how to join. They join. Then they will stumble. They'll listen and learn and watch. And then they'll come across this, and they'll hear this at the right time, and they'll love this. They'll, holy shit. Like, James loves the Gagas because he says, to him, it's like the inside view. He's hearing what longtime listeners or experiences of ION are thinking and saying. He doesn't get any opportunity to hear that until we play it.
I got an email from Akito today that said he loves the Gagas.
Yeah.
It was very cute. Yeah.
Because that's his form of community. He gets to hear people inside the Ionic environment talking among themselves about the Ionic. You don't get that on cash flow. You get people reacting to Ion. But Gagas shows people backstage talking about, well, what happened? You know, what do you get of this? What do you get of that? You know, from the ION thing. So it's the first meta level, and that creates that's the articulation of the community that's implied.
Yeah. Actually, I had a new name for it. It was It was going to be about the you know, it was kind of a weekly thing where it was more, what was it? It was like a 60 minutes Gaga thing.
It was going to be, or you're proposing it?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're...
Yeah, it was going to be more, what's the word? Present. So
well, that's what we're doing now. And the real present would be Mystery Theater.
We could rename it.
Oh, okay.
So it was like 60 minutes of Gagas or some
yeah,
other.
Like Newsy. It's on what's that? What do they do with the journalists? They're on duty. They're on commission. They're on assignment. Gagas on assignment. You know, it's that famous friend of J.J. John, who's the famous CNN woman who's all Christiane Amanpour. No, Christiane Amanpour.
Yes, it's like
her. She's on the scene, right? The war, something's blowing up, and she's right there. That's what the Gaga should be, and you would get that with the Mystery Theater concept.
Yes, exactly.
It's like, you know, you'd be Christiane, and Sheila would be either Diane back at the headquarters or Wolf Blitzer. And, well, Wolf, what do you make of this? Zion is taking a few pot shots at Kellen this week. Odd. He's usually taking pot shots at Bob. And James is not here. We're missing James's laugh. He couldn't make it today. Wonder what's happening to him. You know, that kind of live response, right?
We could make up stuff.
Make up stuff.
Something really rude.
That'd be really funny. Wouldn't it?
That's what you were imagining this week earlier, right, Allison?
Yeah. Something totally funny.
Yeah, not thinking or deliberative or philosophizing, just total gut response.
Because it's in joy. I had a revelation this week, you guys. I looked at the word, the Declaration of Independence, and I took independence apart. I went independence.
Yeah, independence. And that's what Ion says. That Ion is not for the Declaration of Independence because you become dependent on the government. He's like, forget.
I thought it was my own original thought.
you're explaining.
I was like, of course.
Right, independence.
Same
like
thing.
You know, he's got these patriots trying to get back to the father's vision of America, and Ayn says, no, you got duped by even setting up a government, even though it was had great rights and all that. And it had its context back then and worked, but it doesn't work now, so don't try to retrieve it. We don't need government anymore.
Okay, well, that's very cool, because I saw independence as a really negative thing.
But you can say that today. See, you're a 21st century person looking at something 300 years ago. And back then, it was so invisible and new. It was revolutionary, you know.
Well, I was looking at enjoy and enjoy, and I looked at independence, and I was like, "Oh my God, we're independent. We're dependent on."
I want to be independent.
It was crazy. It was like the Declaration of Independence. I'm going, "Oh, this is fucked." This is really
because Foucault goes into that, the French philosopher in the '60s. It's
sure.
You're getting involved in the bind, even noticing to resist it. So, you know, the tailgaters got into that. That's the authority versus power issue.
Right.
I want independence from you, but I'm really independence on you. I'm depending on you because I have to have something to react to.
Yeah. So I don't know how we got off on this, but I think it was because I just looked at that verbiage and went, independence. Independence, or you know, it was kind of, you know, not Manipian, but
no, you're
whatever.
Seeing through it. You're
was,
seeing through it. Never saw
McLuhan.
That meaning.
Yeah,
it's McLuhan-esque.
So you concur, Sheila?
Yeah.
You want to go to sleep, Sheila?
No, I can't imagine wanting to go to sleep whatever time it is.
No. Do you want to go parallel world, Sheila?
That sounds like a good plan.
Well, you're scared.
None of us sleep.
Huh?
None of us sleep, right?
No, correct.
Correct.
Oh, we created a really good show, and I think this is transitional to the Mystery Theater live on-the-spot response.
That's true. Cool. It won't be so shocking.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a buffer.
Because it, what's fun is hearing, we're getting closer to the liveness you were thinking about a few days ago, where we're watching you listen, you know, to the,
mm-hmm.
to hear for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little voyeurism.
Yeah, voyeuristic.
Never
voyeurism
heard
to myself.
Is that like having a couple a mirror on a mirror?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's well, just huge.
Yeah, because we're watching you react, but you get to talk about how you innocently react, but then we can stop, and then through us, you find out what the meaning is of your reactions. So you're, that's the only way it becomes voyeuristic on yourself. That's the second level that happens when we stop the tape.
Yeah. I kind of feel like I have to spread my legs and, like...
walk around.
Well, be transparent. Like, hello?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
You mean that kind of spread
anyway.
Legs? You mean beaver shots? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, my God. It must be time to
be voyeuristic on that level because what you're saying, no, truly, I think what you're saying is that kind of thing. Transparency is a big deal. So
yeah.
Anyway, are we still recording?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ah!
There's nothing. I don't know what she, what Allison is embarrassed about. I don't get it. If you are,
actually,
I don't
not.
Even know if you are.
No,
yeah, you're
not.
You're just pretending. You're just pretending.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah,
I'm happy.
No,
can we stop now?
Yeah, we can. I'm done. You know, it's I got to go do
okay.
some. I got other stuff to do. So.
Bob has stuff to do, Sheila.
Okay,
yeah.
So I guess we can end now then.
Right.
Yeah.
So that requires me. I got to go turn off the backup speaker. Then I'm on one phone, and if Karen's eavesdropping, she's got to get off the line because it only works when no one's listening. No, Carol's not even listening.
What?
She's doing other stuff. Okay, so I'm going to go in here and turn off the mic. Then I can stop the recording. Okay, just a second.
Did you get that, Sheila? That was completely ridiculous.
It only works when no one's listening.
Yeah.
That was completely ridiculous. What are you talking about?
You just said something completely weird.
It only works when no one's listening.
I didn't say that, did I?
Yeah, you did.
Yes.
No, I'm talking about the buttons. Okay, see, on this phone, the way it's set up, I cannot activate the turn off unless all other phones are off.
Okay, got it. Okay.
And the other phone is recording through speakerphone, and sometimes Carol's listening. Got to get her to disconnect. Then I'm now going to disconnect the speakerphone, the other thing, the speakerphone that's recording. Then I can activate the button for some reason. It won't do it if all the phone, other phones are involved in the network.
All right, so that actually made sense.
Yeah, you were talking on a meta other level. I didn't mean that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I go. Stop my backup recording. Now I go star 9.